much about.
Well, it seems impossible, but here we are, face to face with Friday again, with all the old familiar elements on hand.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Kevin eats soup outside the window. Kevin eats soup behind the tree. A piece of pizza could see the pervert looking right at me. But there's a Kevin eats soup outside the window pane.
Everybody knows Halloween is just a free pass for girls to dress like sluts. They just have to call it a costume.
Have a blast.
Ruben Schnooften in den Kaiden Schwarz.
This much vomit hasn't been seen outside of Germany in decades.
Well, I'm sorry we can't all belong to ethnic groups as beloved as the Germans.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Take off your shirts. Let's get this party started.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Do you like to make sex with people of the same sex?
Roll another one.
Generous slices of juicy beef.
Just like the other one.
So, was Mr. Wizard syndicated or what?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Fire, dear man.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Roll another one.
You know what they say? You can't polish a turd.
Just like the other one.
That's like the most like hurtful
this
thing.
One seems to be about
is a fun way to show a new employee that she is not welcome or liked.
Midgets, dude. Midgets.
Just pass it around.
I find that offensive.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
Just pass it on down.
And now.
Do you think it's going well?
No.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is finally Friday, as you hear by that song.
Yes.
Finally Friday.
I thought it was Friday all week.
I know. That's
a really weird
week.
On Monday, I came in. I was like, this has to be Friday.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I was asking people about a schedule that is a Friday schedule, and they were like, it's only Thursday.
Yeah, some weeks hork you like that. Some weeks are, I don't know why, some weeks are 11 days and some weeks are 3. I don't know what that deal is. But I think we all felt a little bit ripped off this week because we worked on Columbus Day when many people didn't. So we always kind of felt like a little bit of a holiday on Monday, but not really. So that may have had something to do with it anyway.
Well, we never checked either if we were off.
Yes.
Because we did that. One year we did that where we were off and we came in and worked because we didn't know it.
Right.
And so all Monday, all day, we were like, well, we should check. Who knows this? We should check. Maybe
who's
we're not supposed to be here.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Kevin is.
I am, yeah.
That's we're a the bunch problem.
Of, we're a bunch of dumbasses. That's what we are. Yeah. That's what I know about us after all these years. Well, here's a story that you are going to think is coming out of Honey Boo Boo's family because it involves roadkill. But it doesn't. This is Holland Township, Michigan. A very serious fire in an apartment complex. In fact, they ended up burning 8 apartments completely destroyed.
Wow.
And another 15. As of right now, there's no telling when they'll be cleaned up enough so that people can move back in. So think about that. That's 23 apartments in a building. That affects a lot of people, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, it was, like I said, a pretty bad fire. Apparently, according to the fire chief there in Holland Township, a resident was using a propane torch on the deck of the 3rd floor of the Clearview Apartments when the deck caught fire just after noon on Wednesday. The resident, guys, was removing a squirrel's fur in preparation to eat the animal.
Oh, God. Really?
Look, I'm not at all grossed out by eating squirrels because I've never had squirrel. And as far as I know, it's the same as eating rabbit or chicken or any other number of animals.
Right.
I know a lot of people eat squirrels. But who removes the fur with a propane torch? That can't be how you're supposed to cook an animal, right?
A guy who doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, you're supposed to skin it.
I would imagine.
Yeah. I would imagine you would be skinning it. He's using a propane torch.
I figured he was using it for a joint or something, and then they was that was going to go that direction. But I could have guessed.
The complex's management company will be estimating damage on Thursday. American Red Cross has arranged for temporary shelter clothing for displaced residents. Fire crews remain on the scene until around 6 o'clock. But how's that for a story of, hey, how'd you guys lose your home? Well, one of the neighbors had a propane tank out, and he's trying to remove squirrel fur.
Boy, I'm making up another story. If that's what I was doing, I'm making up another story immediately.
And it also does seem like you're going to partially cook your squirrel before you even put it in the pan or over the fire, whatever it is you're going to do. If you're using propane to get the fur off, doesn't it seem like that would make for an uneven meat?
Uneven meat, by the way, I saw last night at the Troub. Yeah, of course, that's a terrible way of doing it.
I don't really want to delve too much into the cooking of the squirrel, that's okay.
You might just use an M80.
And what do you do if you're living in Holland Township, Michigan? And I don't know much about that place, but it sounds like a city, you know?
Yeah.
How do you catch a squirrel? How would you catch a squirrel if you wanted to catch one to eat?
Well, there's squirrels everywhere here.
I don't know.
Right?
I
imagine you probably put out some nuts. They love, you know, I have a neighbor who feeds them and create a trap that they would get into.
Sure.
To get the nuts.
So that's what you'd have them crawl into a cage or something like that, then the door would slam, something like that. So you'd have a cage out in front of your apartment waiting for a squirrel
that's
to come
I'd
by.
That's what I do. Yes.
For dinner.
But not unless you've got a blowtorch ready to go to take off the fur.
I'd be concerned about my neighbors at that point.
Yeah.
I see people frequently, several times a month, catching fish for dinner near my house.
Sure.
Where they just go out to the water and they go, hey, I'm having salmon tonight. I got to get me one.
But they don't do it with a propane torch.
No, they don't. I think they probably
throw in a grenade and then the fish just float to the top.
That's the way
to do it. Right. That's a fantastic strategy. So that guy's not having a great weekend.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, let's not have our relationship be out loud.
Okay. Luke Robitaille will be here.
How about that?
Awesome. Hall of Famer from the Los Angeles Kings bringing the Stanley Cup trophy.
Yes.
First question, are we going to have a hockey season?
Yeah, no kidding.
Which would be good if that would happen, but we have
You're going to make him get rid of his Red Wings cup ring?
Oh, I've tried.
Now that he's won one with Los Angeles?
I've tried.
As an executive?
I don't think that's going anywhere.
Yeah, right. I think if we win one as a player, it probably still resonates with you.
Yeah, I agree. We also have Cousin Sal on the program today.
Fantastic.
It is Friday, and he's going to give us his NFL picks. We have You Had Sex in Public. We're going to take your calls on that.
Okay.
Especially if you got caught or something went wrong. That's always funny. We have Honey Boo Boo highlights.
Honey Boo Boo.
Honey Boo Boo.
Bean, today we're going to hear
it. Stop acting like you don't love it.
I don't. I really don't.
It
was the grossest episode ever.
That's saying something.
It really was. It involves just everything foul that comes out of your body is involved in this episode somewhere.
All right.
It also involves roadkill, and it's also the famous Sketty episode that South Park parodied.
Sketty and butter?
Sketty, butter, and ketchup, which apparently is how kings and queens live down in their little town in Georgia. But, we're going to learn that recipe on today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Plus, we got the movie beat because it's Friday. Ralph will tell you what new movies are in the theaters and your final chance to join Muse as they tour SpaceX.
Yeah!
Is today as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Neon Trees, also Foo Fighters, Group Love, Black Keys, all coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us now. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday. What's going on, Ralph?
The Justin Bieber computer thief has made himself public.
Did we give him a reward of some type?
Not yet, but we will. He has been tweeting via the Twitter handle Gexwy, Gexwy, and he posted Thursday that he or she had Bieber's computer that Bieber says was stolen when he was on stage at the Tacoma Dome in Washington Tuesday night. Good job with the password protected at Justin Bieber. Weak! Tweeted this person.
Wow.
Yeah. So to prove that he had the computer, he posted two YouTube links that feature footage that looked like it was shot by Justin of his fans and stuff while we were on the road. And Justin tweeted back, no matter what you have and what you post tomorrow, I know my fans won't leave me. Screw it. Too strong. He fired back. So there's a Twitter war going on between Justin and the person who stole his computer.
A lot
of people are saying, why is this happening? Why isn't he going to the police with this? Why is it happening so publicly via Twitter? Which makes some people suspect the whole thing's a big publicity stunt.
Yeah, that's what I'm starting to wonder, too.
You're starting to think he just put those out there for...
Bieber loves his pranks. You know,
Bieber
loves his pranks. Yeah.
He's crazy that way.
He's crazy that way.
What would happen, by the way, if you did want the Twitter, in this case, to reveal the identity or the location of a poster if they were suspected of a crime? Would they give that information up? You know, we've seen that war before with other sites, Facebook and Hotmail and things like that. I wonder if they would assist in the event of an actual crime being committed.
If it's against Bieber, though, I would hope they wouldn't.
No, they should definitely hold
Make
out.
An exception. Right.
Right. They should help Gexwe, whatever he needs. Give him some additional support. The last tweet from Gexwe, by the way. You've been warned. Should have listened, Justin Bieber.
It's on.
So he is going to release the nuclear codes or something. I don't know. Gives a rat's ass. Hey, remember that creepy story about Bobby Christina Brown, who was the daughter, of course, is the daughter of Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown?
What was the creepy story?
She was, after her mother's funeral, she got together with Nick Gordon, which was the guy that Whitney basically adopted and raised as her own in the house with her.
Yeah.
And they started dating. Remember how creepy you all thought that was?
Yeah. Yeah, well, they were together at the funeral and everything?
Yeah. She's 19. He was 22. And they started dating when they, right after Whitney died. And they had grown up together and stuff. It was like a brother-sister thing going on there. It was just strange.
But not by blood, just by,
no, wow, just by proximity.
Still creepy.
But it's less creepy now because now they're engaged.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. Excellent.
So, just going to make an honest woman out of her.
You married your sister. Call now, 1-800-5-Jerry.
Jerry. Jerry. And speaking of related, Justin Bieber, Avril Lavigne, and Ryan Gosling are all related.
Nope.
Yep. They're all Canadian. A new report from the Canadian website Ancestry.ca says the stars share a common ancestor who emigrated from France back some 400 years ago. That makes Bieber and Gosling 11th cousins, and Bieber and Levine 12th cousins.
Huh. Who's spending their time on this BS?
It's Canada. They're all related there, aren't they?
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't they all come from one guy who came over from France?
That's
I mean,
a bad thing. Some,
everybody's
some Bieber pelt salesman had a bunch of kids, and that's how it all started, I thought.
Sure.
What do I know?
I mean, aren't we all related to one another if you go back far enough? We all have
not you and me. Not you and me. Trust me, not you and me.
You've done the research?
I've done the research. This X Factor, it's just a mess. Just a mess.
It's a car wreck, isn't it?
It is. They make a big deal on their show about the fact that at a certain point, the people who are participating come to the homes of the judges. And they work out in their backyards or their rec rooms or whatever, and they give them tips and stuff. Well, it's been revealed that the homes featured on X Factor this week don't actually belong to Simon Cowell, Britney Spears, or anyone else involved. Simon shot his homestead sequence at Alex Rodriguez's Miami mansion.
Okay.
Brittany did hers at some joint in Malibu, but she lives in Calabasas, so she didn't have anybody at her home either. So they made this big deal about you're coming to my house and we're going to work in my home, and these homes don't even belong to these people. Just one thing after
That's
another with this show.
Effing shaky.
It really is.
Hot mess.
And who cares either? They could just say you're coming over or something.
You were going to the Elks Lodge.
Yeah,
who
whatever.
Cares where you're working?
Doesn't matter.
Isn't it about winning the competition?
Yeah, it's about spending time with me as a mentor is
right.
Really what it is, not the location.
Yeah. And Linda Lohan in the news. She called in to TMZ Live yesterday.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah. To set the record straight regarding the fight with her mom in the back of that limousine.
I'm sure she told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
The audio made its way to the internet thanks to Michael. Apparently, he was the one who leaked the audio of the phone call that he had with his daughter.
Michael Lohan?
Yeah, about what was going on with mom. She said that her mother wasn't on cocaine during the skirmish.
Okay.
That was bogus information.
All right.
And she's done with dad forever.
She called him.
Because, yeah.
Oh, because he leaked
Because
it?
He leaked the information.
Why did he leak the tape?
How did he record the tape?
I don't know.
I mean, why is he recording his phone calls?
I do not know,
sir. Odd.
And she also adds, it's simply normal for moms and daughters to have occasional fights. Is it normal, however, for moms and daughters to go nightclubbing until 4:30 a.m. in the back of a limousine? Is that normal?
No way. No way. Get real.
My mom and I would go out and get a load on, but it would be like 2 o'clock in the morning. We'd call it quits.
Sure.
We'd be at 4:30 a.m. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's obscene.
You have to have a curfew with your mom.
We'd do shots, you know, maybe grab a slice on the way home. Crazy.
Sometimes you'd give her $40,000 to keep her house out of foreclosure.
Sure,
right?
Well, hey, look. It's the only mom you're ever going to have, right?
Exactly.
Today's celebrity birthdays. I know we got the Stanley Cup coming in later today.
We do.
Los Angeles Kings announcer Bob Miller is 74 years old. One of the good ones.
He is good. Yeah, he's great.
Hugh Jackman turns 44 years old. Have you seen the pictures from the set of Wolverine?
No. Yeah, it's insane.
Insane cool?
It's
ridiculous. He's never been in better shape than he is this movie.
It looks like he's 0%
body fat.
44. F you, Hugh Jackman. Kirk Cameron's 42. Just the way God wants him to be. It's exactly what God's plan was for him to be 42.
Yep.
I hope it's not in God's plan for him to be 43. But Tyler Blackburn from Pretty Little Liars, 26 years old today. And Josh Hutcherson, oh, he's dreamy. From Hunger Games, he's 20 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Giving away those Muse tickets. They go on sale this morning at 10. This is your last chance to win them. That includes, a tour of SpaceX down in Hawthorne. We found out from Matt Bellamy earlier in the week that the guys are huge space fans. Guess we should have known that from all the song titles they had that involve astronomy stuff. But it's a great prize. We'll get it for you next hour between 7 and 8 right here on the Kevin and Bean Sean K-Rock.
I didn't watch the vice presidential debates, but I can tell you what happened.
What?
Somebody said, wah, 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 wah. And the other guy said, that's just not true. And then the other guy said, wah, 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 wah. And then he said, that's just not true.
There was a lot of that, yes.
Well, then you're lying, Kevin, because clearly you watched it, because that's exactly what happened.
That's how they all go.
This was a good debate. Lisa, you saw it last night, right?
It was very lively. I enjoyed it very much.
It was very lively, and it was a good debate because, and this is so rare in politics, you had two guys who are smart, articulate guys who knew what they believed in and were happy to talk about it and defend it without necessarily demonizing the other side and just being petty and ridiculing.
Yeah.
It seemed like they were having a discussion about the issues. Now, I will tell you that from a body language standpoint, the vice president, Joe Biden, is getting beat up bad because he's been called a cranky old man. People said he was rude. He was smirking. He was, he was a little too Italian demonstrative. You know, a lot of hands, a lot of eye rolling, a lot of that sort of thing. A lot of laughing.
While Paul Ryan was talking.
Yeah. Oh, early on in the debate, he laughed too much. Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
What a childish way of getting under somebody's skin.
But then he stopped.
It wasn't super professional, I'll tell you that. And Paul Ryan, who a lot of people haven't spent much time seeing beyond a minute here or there on the news, came across as a real, smart, focused guy who, agree or disagree, but you can't deny that he's trying. He's got some ideas that he believes in. He thinks will work,
Right.
So it was a good debate. But here's the thing that's interesting about Paul Ryan, particularly for our audience, is this is, he's one of the youngest guys that's ever run for national office. What is he? I think he's only 41 or 42, something like that. I mean, he's a Gen Xer, basically, or close to it. How many political candidates for national office say their favorite band is Rage Against the Machine? I mean, you just don't see that very often. And he also has to be the
Joe Biden, by the way. That's true of him, too.
I think Bobby Vinton is probably his favorite.
Right.
Paul Ryan has got to be the buffest dude that has ever run for national office as well.
I don't have that category, but all right.
You talk about Hugh Jackman and his low body fat. Paul Ryan, I mean, he is a gym rat. There's pictures of him that just came out in Time magazine this week about his workout regimen. And, they've got him in the gym, lifting weights and stuff like that. I mean, the dude he runs marathons. I mean, he's buff is what I'm saying.
Do you want to date him? What's going on here?
A little bit.
I'm just saying he's unusual for a politician. Right. We think of all politicians as being, old, bald, fat guys.
Because most are. Yeah.
Because most are. But Paul Ryan, maybe the next vice president of the United States, as we'll find out in about a month or so, he's going in a whole different direction. Congressman, you on the line?
Yeah, I'm on the line. Good morning. How you fellas doing?
We're good. How are you, Paul?
Yeah, cutting taxes across the board, 20%. Are you with me, ladies? All right.
So basically, after the debate and congratulations on a terrific performance last night, you went right back into the gym, it sounds like.
That's right. I have to get pumped up because I'm going to take this Biden down. I'm going to crush him, I'm saying? I'm going to destroy him.
Well, it might be.
I'm getting my lats built up. I'm getting my glutes built up. I've got everything I need to destroy that old man. Oh, he's smirking at me. He's going to be smirking on the other side of his face. Right, put him in a figure four leg lock.
I don't think you should physically assault the man. I mean, he is the vice president of the United States.
Fill the middle class by cut taxes for the rich. Are you with me, ladies?
Look, there's no question that it's demanding to run for political office, and I understand that you want to be healthy. You want to be in good shape.
I'm in healthy. I'm in shape. I can take it. It's a marathon, not a sprint, this race, and I'm going to make it all the way to the end, my brother.
Okay, all right. You know this isn't the WWE, right? You know that it's not settled in the octagon or anything, right?
That people just vote for. I'd kill that old man. rolling his eyes, smirking to me, being all condescending. I'd take him, and I'd bend him just like this barbell.
Wow, you got some issues.
Yeah, it does sound like there's a lot of aggression being worked out.
Or do I have massive guns?
Well, you might have both.
Speaking of which, more money for the defense. Are you with me, ladies?
Speaking of massive guns, I like what you did there. So are you going to have time, if you and Mr. Romney win this election and you're the vice president, aren't you going to be kind of busy? How are you going to be able to keep up with all the working out?
I've already talked to the Pentagon. They're going to send over a tank that I can bench press.
Oh, that's right.
I'll just sit there in the office while Romney's kicking ass as president. I'm going to be bench pressing a tank.
It's hard not to get caught up in this man's enthusiasm, isn't it?
Romney Ryan, are you with me, ladies? Overturn Roe versus Wade, are you with me, ladies?
Whoa!
Ladies, whoa. Hello?
I think you may have lost the ladies.
Hey, where'd all the ladies go?
We'll try to survive another episode of Honey Boo Boo coming up.
Woo-hoo! In
the
oh,
so man. Here on the World Famous Garrick. First, love though, it. Ralph is here on a Friday, means it's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching one man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
I don't mean to panic anyone, but I have seen two of the four big movies coming out this week.
That is not how it works.
I know. Trust me.
Ralph's Movie Beat, you guess based on what you've seen in the media. That's it.
I just wandered into a couple theaters this week.
Well, stop doing that.
I apologize, but I will do my best to maintain my standard of giving you uninformed knee-jerk reaction reviews to the movies that are coming out this weekend. Let's start off with a movie I haven't seen, but I'm looking forward to. Argo is the name of this film. It, of course, is about the popular gasoline station chain. You go into an Argo and you get... they've got a special cleaning agent, I think, in their gas that helps you.
That's not what that's about at all. But
you're thinking of Arco, the gas station. Argo.
Oh, yeah. Argo is a film based on a true story about a CIA extraction of some Canadians and Americans, in a Canadian ambassador's house in Iran during the regime change there in Iran in the 70s. And what happens is these Americans get trapped there, and they are going to be killed if they're found, and the CIA has to find a way to go in and extricate them safely. And so Ben Affleck plays a CIA analyst who comes up with an idea to produce a fake movie to go into Iran claiming to be filming a Canadian science fiction, low-budget science fiction film.
Right.
And they are going to incorporate these six Americans who are hiding out into the cast and crew of that film and then leave together as a cast and crew once the filming is done.
When I saw the trailer, I thought, that's dumb. And then when I heard that actually is based on a true story.
True story.
That's unbelievable.
Because it worked, it's genius.
Yes.
If it had failed, it would have been the dumbest idea ever.
Well, even as they were coming up with it, they thought it was just the worst idea ever. We're going to pretend to make a movie, and then we're going to blend these six people in, these hostages, these people who the Royal Guard is looking for, and we're going to move them with the rest of the cast crew. I was like, that's the dumbest idea ever. Which is the point of this scene between Bryan Cranston, who plays Ben Affleck's boss in the film, and Affleck telling the government that this really is a bad idea, but it's the best bad idea they have.
Aliens and robots?
Yes, sir.
You're telling me that there is a movie company in Hollywood right now that is funded by the CIA?
Yes, sir.
You think this is more plausible than teachers?
Yes, we do. One, there are no more foreign teachers in Iran. And we think everybody knows Hollywood people. And everybody knows they'd shoot in Stalingrad with Pol Pot directing if it would sell tickets. There are only bad options. It's about finding the best one.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
The United States government has just sanctioned your science fiction movie.
So they go forward, and Argo is the name of the film. That's the name of the script. That's where it comes from.
That's funny.
The film is called Argo.
Ralph, what about Ben Affleck being the hottest thing in Hollywood? What about that?
I'll tell you something. My buddy Kevin Smith, who you know I do the Hollywood Babylon show with, is friends with Ben. They've worked together several times early on in Ben's career, and he saw the film. He said, they're going to give this bastard an Oscar.
Really?
Yeah, he says it's that good.
I've heard nothing but great about it.
And Affleck has turned into a terrific director.
How about that?
This is the third movie in a row he's knocked out of the park. So
yep.
Argo opens up everywhere this weekend. Boy, a lot of good movies this weekend. And also, Here Comes the Boom also is released this weekend.
I'm guessing you didn't see this one.
Can you imagine going to see a Kevin James MMA movie?
I am looking forward to it. I want to see it so much. It looks so funny.
Kevin James plays a high school teacher who tries to raise money for the extracurricular music program at his school by becoming an MMA fighter and competing for prize money. Really? That's what you came up with? That's what everyone sat around and said, yeah, this is the movie we're going to make?
It's not the best idea, but it's the best worst idea.
How many times have we seen the underdog guy trying to raise money for the noble cause going into the danger situation?
We've seen all of them.
Oh, Jesus. But at least it gets more realistic when Selma Hayek is his girlfriend. F you, Kevin James. Just have some degree of decorum when you're out there defending yourself. Because first he's going to tell us he's an elite athlete who's an MMA fighter and Selma Hayek's his girlfriend.
But if you're making believe in the movies, you want Selma Hayek as your...
But I own a mirror, too. So I'd say, oh, no, look at me. I'm a marginally funny blob. I'm Paul Blart. No one's going to think of me as an MMA fighter with Selma Hayek as a girlfriend. No one. And he keeps going around doing all these interviews. You know, I trained with Baz Rutten and all these guys for like a year. But really? Well, why are you so fat then? Here is the scene from the film where Kevin James and Selma Hayek tried to come up with a plan to save the music program for their high school.
I guess it was unrealistic to think that anybody would show up when everybody has their own problems.
You showed up.
You showed up.
I said you showed up.
So what exactly is the plan?
Well, first off, we got to get $48,000. Then we should probably help save Marty's job.
I can see that you put a lot of thought into it.
Well, how about this? How about we work out a plan, but we do it in a controlled area, which is my apartment.
Not a chance.
See, he's hitting on her.
Mm-hmm. And she comes to love him. When he becomes an MMA fighter.
Nope.
F you. Here comes the F you. That's what that movie should be called. Sinister opens up this weekend. I've seen this film. It is scary as all get out. True story, a true story novelist, a true crime novelist played by Ethan Hawke, follows these stories around the country. If he's writing a book about a murder, he will move to the town where the murder was committed. He'll do his research, interview the people who knew the
victims. I do not want to be that guy's family.
That kind of stuff. And he moves his family with him. In this particular case, he moves his family into a house where an entire family has been murdered. Because you can get it for a deal. You know, those murder houses. They go for cheap. He goes in there. He needs a hit. He's had a couple hits before, and he's been in a lull, and so now he needs to have another big hit, and so it motivates him to stay in this house and write about this family who was hung from the tree in the backyard. It's not a spoiler. It's the very first thing you see in this film. This family is one of the most disturbing opening sequences you've ever seen. Anyway, it turns out there is a supernatural element to these murders, and this guy discovers a box of home videos in his attic. And he starts to watch them, and bad things start to happen to his family. I won't tell you any more than that. But Sinister is a great Halloween time scary movie. It's sort of a classic thriller slash horror movie with some genuine scares in it and some real disturbing moments. Here are some clips from the trailer of Sinister.
New details today in the grisly murders of a local family found earlier this week.
Is the story a good one this time?
I'm going to write the best book that anybody's ever read.
You gotta be kidding me.
The first one I found dates back to the 60s.
The only link between all these cases is the symbol.
The symbol is associated with a pagan deity named Bagul. Early Christians believed that Bagul actually lived in the images themselves. Children exposed to the images were especially vulnerable to Bagul's abduction.
Sweetheart, what are you doing?
Painting. I wanted to paint her picture.
He's Kevining! Ah! If you're like me and you think little kids are the scariest thing you can have in a horror movie,
I'm like
then you're effed because this movie is just chock full of them and I was very uncomfortable throughout. I'd recommend Sinister highly, as I do Seven Psychopaths, which I saw this week.
Oh, this looks great.
It is such an entertaining film. I'm a sucker for the quirky, low-level gangster comedy kind of things, you know. Remember In Bruges?
Yes.
The movie with Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson, as they played sort of two low-rent hitmen who were stuck in Brussels for an extended period of time. Martin McDonagh, the director of that film, also wrote and directed Seven Psychopaths, and it is hilarious. Great cast. Colin Farrell returns to work with Martin McDonagh again. Sam Rockwell, who I think is just one of the most underappreciated, brilliantly funny actors working today, is in the film. Christopher Walken steals the movie. Woody Harrelson is very funny. Here's the basic premise. Sam Rockwell and Christopher Walken are two low-level con men who steal your dog and then wait for you to put out a reward for your lost dog, and then they return the dog and make the reward money. Wow. That's their racket.
So it's like $25 or something?
Colin Farrell's their screenwriting friend, who is a sort of a failed screenwriter. He's got his own struggles with his love life and other stuff. And what they do is, it turns out Sam Rockwell and Christopher Walken steal the Shih Tzu of Woody Harrelson.
Hey,
that's a dog. It's a dog.
Oh,
the Shih Tzu.
Okay.
Woody Harrelson, they steal his Shih Tzu. It turns out Woody Harrelson is a gangster who has way too much affection for his Shih Tzu. And they become the targets of gangland murder style hitmen who come. Tom Waits is hilarious in this movie. It's a great cast. It is weird. It's quirky. And it's very, very funny. Here's a scene where Sam Rockwell is telling his girlfriend that he's just not going to give that Shih Tzu back.
It's a kidnapped dog. You don't just give back a kidnapped dog. Defeats the entire object of the kidnapping. They didn't just give Patty Hearst back, did they? No, this dog is my Patty Hearst. Except I ain't going to keep it in a closet and make it rob a bank. No, I'm going to hold on to it. That's a decent human being. Gives me a bunch of money.
The guy's a psychopath, Billy.
Well, did you ever ask yourself what you're doing scoring a psychopath in the first place?
Scoring two psychopaths is what the question is.
What? Who's the second? Oh, who, me?
I'm a psychopath? All seven of them are psychopaths. It's a very, very funny film. And our own beer mug, by the way, was on the red carpet for the premiere of this film.
What?
And he had a chance to sit down with Colin Farrell and do an in-depth interview with the star of Seven Psychopaths,
Colin
Farrell.
Wait, we let Beer Mug talk to Colin Farrell?
Yeah, they got together and they had an in-depth conversation about the nature of the character, you know, comedy versus drama, how to work the tension in a film like this, which is crime-related but also has a lot of hilarious hijinks involved. I mean, how do you balance all those elements? Well, thank God we sent Beer Mug to sit down with Colin Farrell and get the answers.
Colin, Beer Mug from Kevin and Bean.
How's it going, Kevin?
Saw the movie on Thursday. Your character, Marty, a bitter alcoholic, hardcore alcoholic. I want to know if the man behind Marty, if he is an alcoholic, do you, Mr. Colin Farrell, need a drinking partner on Friday nights?
Martin McDonough, an alcoholic? Do I need a drinking partner? Like I need an arrow in the neck. A drink, yeah, go and pound some Red Bulls.
And vodka.
Get our hair down.
Get some Guinness?
Not anymore, man, not anymore. That ship has passed. You're shaking. You need a drink, pal.
No, I need one. I'm nervous. I'm standing in front.
I'm nervous.
Because you're the man.
No, I'm not. I'm just one of many. Am I?
No. You're the man. The man.
You're the man. No, you are. No, you are.
No. Colin, I'll let you go. I don't want to waste any more of your time. Thanks, Colin.
Too late.
Wow.
Colin Farrell had a famous drinking problem. It really derailed his life and career.
Yeah, hardcore.
He had a serious alcohol problem.
Yeah.
You don't go to that guy and say, are you an alcoholic behind the scenes? You need a drinking partner?
Let's go get a beer. And then he would say Red Bull. He'd say vodka.
What's wrong with you?
A lot.
The guy has a serious drinking problem that he's fought hard to overcome.
He's been sober for a while. Hey, Kathy Bates, why aren't you showing your cans?
Hey, Scott Wiley, you need a tie-off shooting partner? What's wrong with you?
Oh. Go see the movie anyway. Forget
the wind knocked out of me. Yeah, Seven Psychopaths, it's really funny. I really liked it. Sinister is very scary. Argo looks terrific. And then there's Here Come the Boom, which is the beer mug of movies. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman's movie beat.
Your stories of having sex in public next hour. Muse tickets as well. Cousin Sal previews the NFL weekend for us. And Luke Robitaille from the Los Angeles Kings will be here with the Mother Effin' Stanley Cup here at K-Rock. Come on. That's all on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, honey boo-boo.
Yep. Love it.
Even though the season is done, we have not spotlighted all of the episodes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And I think we're up to the most famous one, the Sketty episode. South Park talked about this on the most recent show. Here's June in the kitchen talking about the delightful tree and why she's having to cook from scratch tonight.
Mom. What?
What you doing?
Cooking.
I try to, like, cook, like, at least every day of the week.
Give me the steps so you can help me.
The deer aren't migrating like they used to be, and so nobody's hit a deer with their car, and we've not been caught up to a deer call.
It's been a while since I didn't have roadkill in my belly.
All right, are we getting all this?
Did she say there aren't enough deer being hit by cars?
Yes, and they haven't gotten any calls to go out and pick up a deer carcass on the road because, you know, the family mostly lives on roadkill, right?
Oh, I didn't know that.
God.
So that's why she's had to cook a little bit more than usual. That's why
stupid
she's making
deer's not getting hit by cars.
That's why she's making the family favorite, the sketti.
What is this?
For the sketti. So, I mean, you know, we try to make other kinds of food, like, you know, sketti.
How are people going to ketchup and butter?
Me? I want butter, sketti, and ketchup.
All right, so what they do is they take a giant glob. It looks like about 2 pounds of butter and put about a half a bottle of ketchup in it and put it in the microwave. And that's what makes the sauce that they put on their pasta, their spaghetti.
God.
Bean, it is not spaghetti.
It's sketti. You're sketti. Right.
Yeah.
They have butter as a sauce on their sketti. That explains so much about this family. Now, they're living down in a tiny town of about 700 people, I think. McIntyre, Georgia is where they're at. And apparently they live about 100 feet away from a convenience store, gas station convenience store called the Flash Foods. And the kids go in there every single day to buy junk food, which, again, explains a lot. Here's the manager of the Flash Foods.
I'm the manager of the Flash Foods store. When I see Pumpkin come in, I call it the Bam Bam look. There were no shoes on.
Okay, so Pumpkin, who's 12... when she comes in every day to, you know, to shop for junk food, she comes in barefoot, Britney Spears style. She's running around a convenience store gas station barefoot, hour after hour.
And the where's my country girl? It feels better barefoot. We in the country. That's how we do it.
That's how they do it in the country, Kevin, is they shop barefoot. Just one of the things that happens.
I think I would be more upset about the floor of my convenience store.
Yes. And what they tracked in.
Than the kids' feet.
Yeah, they are bringing you malaria or something in the store. You're right.
They're a little different. They're more interesting to me. Lana usually runs around the store, turning flips and whatnot. And she's a ball of energy. We like the business. I think a store go out of business, they ain't coming every day.
We got a bunch of stuff.
Let's see. Junk food time.
Yeah, they're buying nothing but junk food up there at the counter. Do you hear what the assistant manager says?
No.
That the store would go out of business if it weren't for Honey Boo Boo and her sister's coming in and buying food from her every day.
Wow, and she probably meant it.
She probably did.
Honey likes hanging out there the most. And she'll be gone like an hour and a half, and I have to literally call to the store and say, come on now, Pumpkin, it's time to go home.
Pumpkin's in a convenience store for an hour and a half.
Can't you look around an entire convenience store in about 45 seconds?
What is she doing there?
She just wants to get out the hell out of June's house, probably. I think is all it is. Well, by now we know that Chickadee, the 17-year-old, had her baby. Remember, she had the baby with the extra thumb a couple of months ago.
Right. But,
at this point in the series, that as it aired, she's still pregnant, getting very close. I think she's only a couple weeks out now, and Chickadee is having some contractions. And you're going to learn a lot about the way the birds and bees happen in this piece right here.
If you have Caitlin light, it can be the pageant.
Yeah, okay.
Caitlin's coming out of Anna's moon pie any day now.
Okay, Caitlin's coming out of the moon pie any day now, which is what Honey Boo Boo, I think, refers to as the vajayjay.
Chickadee is in a third trimester, as she do in about 2 weeks, but she just got a lot of growing up to do. I really don't think Anna's ready for the baby to come.
How you feeling today? You feeling any better from the doctor's office?
A lot more pressure down my butt area.
All right, she got a lot of pressure down in the butt area.
Wow, it's a good thing this show is subtitled, too.
Yeah, it sure is.
I see Caitlin, your baby does not come out of your butt. Comes out of your biscuit.
The baby does not come out of the butt, you guys. It comes out of the biscuit, which apparently is another colorful euphemism that they have for Chickadee's vagina.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
Exactly. And by the way, June, very comfortable with her 17-year-old daughter getting ready to have a baby because, recall, she had her first kid when she was 15. So,
So she's doing better.
Yeah, she waited. She waited a lot longer to get pregnant.
But a woman will ooh on herself. Before she has a baby.
Mama, guess what?
And then her hemorrhoids will come out.
Shut up.
All right, now we're talking about ooing on ourselves.
Do we have to?
And we're talking about hemorrhoids.
Everybody's talking about Caitlin's going to be born, and it sounds gross.
It is gross.
I'm surprised that her hemorrhoids hadn't come out.
Oh, my gosh, shut up. And so I have some questions. And that's when you pull your baby out with your biscuit.
That's what you do, Honey Boo Boo. You pull the baby out of the biscuit. Well, Chickadee, as you can imagine, you know, she's got a lot going on there below the belt. And apparently she accidentally wets herself on the couch. And we need to be subjected to that.
Anna don't really know what's going on with her body right now. She's cramping. She's sleeping all the time. And she's even peeing on my damn couch.
There's right there in my seat.
I'm sorry.
Well, go change your damn.
You'll change your pants.
My pants ain't wet. It's my underwear. Like so.
If you pee through your pants and it got on my couch, you your pants. Let me check them.
What's happening?
Are you tracking this?
This is happening. So on TV.
Chickadee thinks her pants are dry, even though her underwear is wet, even though the couch is wet. So mom reaches down between Chickadee's legs to see how wet. I mean, it.
You are f***y right there. For real?
Let's just do one more from this episode, and this is along with Sketty. This is the new thing that the family is famous for, where they have a game that they play called Whose Breath Is It? Where, just like you would imagine, you get blindfolded, and then the other family members come and they blow into your mouth.
Gross.
And based on the smell, you identify who they are.
Okay, whose breath is in? And one person sits in the chair blindfolded. And everybody else comes in your face. So you guess people's fragrances.
So you guess people's fragrances.
Breath number one. Smell like ass and it's pumpkin.
All right, so Honey Boo Boo guesses, well, it smells like ass, so it must be pumpkin. Unfortunately, no, it was Chubbs, who we learned on this episode. This is the 15-year-old, 170-pound daughter, that Chubbs doesn't brush her teeth except on, as she describes it, special occasions.
Oh, my God.
So no wonder it smells like ass. Ladies and gentlemen, America's first family, Honey Boo Boo.
This is it.
That's a
real
thing.
My name's Honey Boo Boo, and I'm a beauty queen, bitches. I'm fat as a whale, and I don't give two girl.
Her favorite foods are Sketty and butter.
Ralph, tell us something that will make us forget what we just heard from Honey Boo Boo's family, please.
Justin Bieber is a lying douchebag.
Okay, it's a good start.
It's a good start. How about that? More details starting to come out about this alleged stolen laptop of Justin Bieber's from Tacoma, Washington. Oh, someone stole my laptop. I have personal footage on there that I don't want anyone to see. No, no, no. Oh, I'm a guy on Twitter, and I'm going to release all of your secrets from your laptop. Oh, yeah, well, my fans will still love me. Oh, you'll be sorry, Justin Bieber, when I post at noon something very important from your laptop. We've been hearing via Twitter between Justin Bieber and someone named at Gexwee. This Twitter fight's been very public about the fact that this guy admits that he stole Justin's video, and he's releasing these videos a little bit at a time via YouTube links to show that he's actually in possession of the laptop.
Right.
Well, how about the fact that Nicki Minaj has also posted that she is going to show something very scandalous today at noon, and Justin Bieber's alleged thief of his laptop said he's going to release something of Justin Bieber's at noon.
What?
And what do you think of the fact that there's a Beauty and the Beat music video for Bieber's new song that features Nicki Minaj?
This is all publicity?
This whole thing is a giant publicity stunt.
With all due respect, that's a bunch of malarkey.
So Bieber's behind both parties?
The scandalous footage that's going to be released apparently is the Beauty and the Beat video featuring Justin Bieber and Nicki Minaj.
What a dumb douchebag. Now, the right thing to do would be for most of his followers to quit following him.
Yes, because he's just playing you like a cheap bagpipe, people.
Wow.
But you won't. You'll just keep going like the sheep that you are, and you'll listen to his crappy music, and you'll still buy magazines when he gets a new haircut, and you'll just keep sucking up to this low-grade pop star who just wants to manipulate you and the media for his own fortunes.
He just thinks he's so witty and crafty and funny and...
What a douchebag! But at least it's been discovered that he's scalping tickets to his own tour.
He is?
Yeah.
He's not making enough money?
No, apparently he is buying up large chunks of tickets that are unavailable to the public and then putting them up on scalping sites like TicketsNow.com with a huge markup to make even more money on the ticket sales than they would be when he sold them via legitimate outlets.
Wow.
How much longer do the Beliebers put up with this crap?
Why don't you ask the only Belieber on our show?
Okay, Belieber, what do you got? What do you got?
I'm a fan of his music, but very little else about him I support.
Being said,
So I share your scorn. I think I share your scorn on all things discussed.
What a weasel.
What a weasel. By the way, except for we hate his music as well.
What this, a weasel.
Yeah. This ticket thing, by the way, unconscionable, but, you know, Bieber is far from the only one doing that. I mean, that, you know, that's a story that's been breaking for the last 2 years.
It's almost
commonplace now for bands to do that, is to take a bunch of the tickets and put them up on the secondary market. I mean, it's super common now, and it really sucks.
Like, wow. They're not making enough money from the tours? Look, hey, you got a problem with your tour prices, then charge $250 a pop to go see you at the Tacoma Dome.
Right.
But you don't sell them for $100 a piece and then buy up a bunch of them and then sell them on tickets now for $250 to make 150% profit.
Wow. Yeah, I agree. It needs to be a lot more transparent than it is.
He is Satan.
He needs to be a lot more transparent than he is. Like a 50 caliber hole right through him so you can look through and see through the other side.
Figuratively.
Figuratively, of course. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't recommend that.
Right.
Wouldn't be upset if it happened. I'm just saying I wouldn't. Wouldn't propose it. Weasel. Tom Hanks is going to make his Broadway debut.
Finally.
How about that? Tom Hanks never been on Broadway before. I would pay top dollar to go see Tom Hanks on Broadway.
In what?
In a brand new play written by the late Nora Ephron, who, of course, was a famous screenwriter and director. She wrote big movies for Tom in the 90s, like Sleepless in Seattle and You've Got Mail. It's a story of a New York City crime reporter, opens in April of next year, and Tom is going into rehearsals to put it up on Broadway. That's going to be a hot ticket. See Tom Hanks on Broadway.
Absolutely.
That'd be pretty cool.
And he's a terrific actor, too.
He is a terrific actor.
It's pretty obvious he's won 2 Oscars, but, I mean, the guy, he delivers, man.
And in TV news, you know, TV shows are being canceled left and right now as the fall season gets underway. But don't worry, because there's great new television programming being worked on right now that will take its place.
All right.
Like the ABC sitcom, Michael Bolton's Daughter is Destroying My Life.
Wait, that's a real thing?
Yeah.
Is it a reality show?
No, it's a fictional sitcom where a newbie personal assistant will be hired by Michael Bolton to handle his social media.
Obviously.
But she also has to wind up dealing with his wild child daughter who makes her life a living hell. Oh, I can just see the comedy in that now.
No.
Michael Bolton's Daughter is Destroying My Life.
No.
Michael Bolton will star as a fictional version of himself.
No.
In Michael Bolton's Daughter is Destroying My Life.
No.
Yes.
No!
And The Game is doing a reality show about his upcoming wedding.
I thought that was happening a year ago or 6 months ago or something.
It debuts in November on VH1. Huh. Look for Marrying the Game is the name of it. What's going on?
I don't know.
What the hell's going on?
I don't know.
I just came out of Honey Boo Boo eating sketty and butter and ketchup and not brushing your teeth, and now The Game is getting married, and that's a show, and Michael Bolton's a sitcom star. What bizarro world have I stepped into? I want to go back through the looking glass. Where's the Cheshire Cat?
No can
Where's
do.
The Tube of History? That's what we need right now, Kevin.
Great gosh almighty.
Take us back. I don't know. How far back do we have to go, Ralph? 5 years?
Yeah. That'll do. When did Mad Men first come on the air? Let me get excited about that again. Oh, Jiminy Cricket. Celebrity birthdays. Bob Miller, longtime Los Angeles King announcer, 74 years old today. You know, when I was a kid growing up in Philadelphia, there was a guy named Gene Hart who used to do all the play-by-play announcing for the Flyers on television. I always held fast to the idea that he was the best broadcaster I'd ever heard in the sport of hockey. I was always so impressed by his knowledge and his enthusiasm and his professionalism. But I got to tell you, Bob Miller, maybe the best.
Really?
Maybe surpassed. Because Gene passed away early on. So
Bob Miller's all I know. So
yeah, but he's brilliant. Just wow. Great at what he does. 74 years old today. He is the Vin Scully of hockey, this guy. Hugh Jackman, 44 years old today. Kirk Cameron, from Growing Pains and from the fact that evidence of God is a banana. He's 42 years old today. Tyler Blackburn from Pretty Little Liars is 26 years old. And Josh Hutcherson from The Hunger Games is 20 years old today. Let's put Honey Boo Boo in The Hunger Games and see how long she lasts.
Love it.
The whole family.
The whole family. Yeah. Put him in the wilderness.
With the Kardashians. They have to fight each other to the death.
Look,
and the Lohans.
Oh, this gets better. Someone get Mark Burnett on the phone. We've got an idea. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, how about Muse at Staples Center, January 23rd? And just added, by the way, January 24th, second date. Tickets go on sale this morning at 10 o'clock. You want to go to that and have the band show you around SpaceX. We are looking for Muse fans right now. We're going to play a game. We'll give you a chance to earn them. You can call it right now, 1-800-520-1067. Your Muse tickets are next right here on the Kevin Bean Show. Every day in the 7 o'clock hour this whole week here on the world-famous K-Rock, we have been hooking you up with Muse tickets for Staples Center in January. Tickets go on sale today at 10. And also a tour of SpaceX with the band itself. Kevin, what are we playing today?
I'm Dave.
I'm Mike.
And with our powers combined, we are El Orchestra de la Raza. Si se puede!
Someone's alarm was going off during the intro to this game. All right, Dave and not Mike, how is this game played for our listeners on the phone and those enjoying the program at home?
Well, we'll sing the intros to Muse songs with our mouths.
Our mouths!
I don't ever want to hear that noise again.
Which one? This one?
All right, so you're gonna be performing Muse instrumentals, basically. Not the singing part, but the musical part of the songs. All the caller on the line has to do is identify which Muse song you're doing. They go into the drawing. Somebody on the line is going to be winning tickets. Kevin, who's our first contestant?
Alfredo, who is a UPS driver. Hi, Alfredo.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you? Hey, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Apologize for this in advance.
Yeah, this is a tough game for everyone involved. All right, listen up. You're going to identify this Muse song from El Orchestra de la Raza. That was very impressive, Alfredo, and I have to say to the orchestra, too, that was a pretty good job. Who's up next?
We have Michael. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, guys.
Michael is a nurse. It's your chance to name this Muse song. Good luck. I hope somebody's alarm's going off right now. Okay, all right,
that's fine. That's funny. Guys, thank you. Thank you. Michael, please, put us out of our misery. What song is it?
I wouldn't even have a guess. Would you guys, let's go with Madness.
I'm sorry. Nice try. Hysteria this time around.
At least smart enough to guess a new song.
Yeah, it was nothing like that.
All right. Yeah. This is a horrible game. It almost makes me miss Kevin Bean Whistle the Hits. Let's try Rick. He's on line three. He's up next here. And I don't know how much patience I have for too many more of these, by the way.
How dare you?
This could be a very short game. Hi, Rick. You ready to play?
Yeah, what's up, party people?
Good luck. Name this Muse song.
I think Dave's part is what makes it so annoying. I think not Mike is doing a pretty good job, but Dave is the weak link.
No.
What do you think, Rick?
I think you're wrong. It's the opposite.
Thinking,
hey, guys, shut up.
I'm thinking, is it Uprising?
Yes!
It is.
Wow.
You are amazing.
I am shocked. Not you guys. All right. One more contestant. Let's get Tracy in on the action here. Tracy, we apologize for what you've had to listen to on hold. Are you ready to try to play?
Good morning. Yes, I'm ready.
All right. Here are the guys.
Good luck. That's fine. That's a good place to leave it right there. Thank you.
That's leave it right
you.
There.
All right, guys. Tracy, help us. What's
I
on?
I have no idea. I'm going to just guess and say time is running out.
No, I'm sorry. It's okay. This.
Supermassive
yep.
Black hole.
Exactly alike.
I was looking at the answer and I couldn't figure out how it was that song.
You are not a Muse fan.
How dare you?
Fredo is in the running. Rick also, but only one can win the tour of SpaceX and tickets to the show at Staples Center. Lisa, who's our winner?
Our winner is Alfredo.
Alfredo. Yeah! Congratulations, Alfredo.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
And apologies to everybody else.
El Orchestra de la Raza. Si se puede.
What time does the Stanley Cup arrive?
9 o'clock.
Is it driving itself, by the way, or is it coming with its handlers?
It drives itself, but it does allow people in the back. Which is odd.
Very excited. And Luke Robitaille will be here, too. So finally, maybe we'll get some answers on what's going on, because there's not a lot of coverage on the talks that are preventing the NHL season from happening. But I do know that there are no games being played. I do know that much right now.
Yeah, they canceled the preseason and they canceled some of the regular season now. That sucks.
So Luke and the Cup will be here later on today.
But if the Kings have to keep the Cup forever because there's no more hockey, I mean, that's all right.
Yeah, there you go.
But you'd rather them
win it again.
Yeah, you'd rather them at least have the opportunity to try.
Oh, agreed.
All right, let's talk about one of our favorite subjects. It's been some time since we've covered this topic here on the Kevin and Bean Show, but it is, as they say in the business, an evergreen. This is a topic, particularly with our listeners, that we could do once a week if we wanted to, because almost everyone has a story, and we're talking about sex in public. Sex in public. There are reasons, I guess, why you would choose to have sex in public. Sometimes that's just where you happen to be when you get in the mood. Sometimes, for a lot of people, like Johnny who writes in, I was driving to work. I heard that on today's show you're going to be discussing the topic of having sex in public. Back in the day, when I was still at my parents' house, sex in public was the main way to get down. You do it for privacy, right?
Oh, yeah.
You got no place else to go.
It's funny. You go have sex in public for privacy.
Right. Lots of car sex. Of course, the beach is a great place. Nature walks and other various secret spots that I sometimes still use. I've come to really enjoy sex in public places. Plus, doing it in public adds a danger of being caught element to an already awesome act of boning. By the way, if you hook me up with Muse tickets, I'm dating a girl that would totally do me at the concert. In public. Well, we're
how
not
does
giving
that
away-
help us?
We're not giving away tickets to anything right now, but we are looking for your stories at 1-800-520-1067. Now, you were saying earlier, Kevin, that you would prefer that somehow they get caught,
no,
or police,
I mean,
are involved, or what?
It's funnier if they get caught, but just where did you do it and how many times? Omar was telling maybe I'm not supposed to say that.
We never somebody really heard show, that.
Somebody on our show was saying that that they had sex many different times and got caught many different times. It wasn't Omar, but it was anyone else.
Yes.
It was Shmomar. Wasn't it Shmomar?
It was Shmomar.
Yes. It was Shmomar that works down in the production room. Here's a story that's just in the news this past month or so. An amorous couple arrested for doing the dirty in a Florida public swimming pool. Mary Killian and Eric Wildman, both aged 49, by the way.
Wow.
Just a little bit of a surprise that a 49-year-old would be doing in the pool. Maybe that's my ignorance, but I don't know. It seems like at that point you're at the age where you go, let's just do it on the couch. It's a lot easier. It's not like you got to get out from under your parents, right?
Note to self, don't go to public pool.
They shocked neighbors when they started getting frisky in the water at around 6 o'clock one night. Wideman was allegedly in the middle of performing, well, I can't say that part. While disgusted onlookers reported the lewd scene to police. Here's my favorite part of the story, by the way. Police arrived at the Green Valley Circle Community Pool in East Naples, Florida, to find the pair in the pool. Wideman was completely naked. That's the male in the story. When questioned, he claimed to be a nudist, just enjoying an evening dip, and the woman, Killian, says she was just swimming laps. This is why no one likes you guys, she told the arresting officer, according to the Naples News.
And they just swam into each other on accident?
Hey, that could happen, man. Sometimes it gets a little tight there in the pool, man, when you're two people. All right, let's take one call before the break, and then we'll get you on the air at 1-800-520-1067. Travis is going to get us started here. We're talking about sex in public places. We're looking for funny stories, and we're also looking for the creative locations that you chose. Hi, Travis. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
I was probably like 24. I was actually stationed over in Japan. I was dating this cute little blonde girl, and we went to go check out Tokyo Tower. And
now, what is Tokyo Tower? I'm sorry for not knowing.
Tokyo Tower, it looks like the Eiffel Tower, but it's in Tokyo.
Okay.
And so we're up there, and it's, you know, city's laid out before us, you know what I mean? It was dark, and, you know, it started getting a little amorous, and we kind of stepped outside and just kind of started
sure.
doing our thing.
Well,
How close were other people to you? How close were other people to you? Because you're in a basically a tourist attraction overlooking the city. I'm sure you weren't the only ones up there, right?
No, but we went outside. There was like a little spot, like with the, you know, like you always see in the movies where there's like those stairs that go up into the top.
Right.
So we just kind of snuck out there while everybody was still inside.
All right.
And kind of did our thing. But when we left, we didn't think about the security cameras and some of the security guards are kind of pointing and laughing.
I'm relatively sure I've seen you online.
At a minimum, you're on a greatest hit security footage camera compilation that they have from the Tokyo Tower. Good times. By the way, why go all the way to Japan and then date a blonde? I don't understand that at all. 1-800-520-1067. Your call is coming up next on Public Sex on the Kevin and Bean Show. Cousin Sal has his picks for the NFL weekend coming up in about 20 minutes or so. And David Morrissey, one of the new stars of The Walking Dead, returning this Sunday night on AMC. He plays the governor that you know from the comic books. Graphic novels, I guess you prefer. He's going to be joining us also in the 8 o'clock hour.
You know what's funny about that is I forgot that I had remixed highlights of The Walking Dead with Michael Jackson's Thriller. Completely forgot till just now.
When did you do that?
Just tweeted it out. I don't know, earlier this week. And I just tweeted it out because I completely forgot that I had done it.
Yeah, very excited about The Walking Dead coming back. Follow Kevin on Twitter at TheKevinWriter if you want to see that. And right now we're talking about sex in public. We decided not to have Lisa give us her list this time around because we're only on till 10.
Yeah, so you've heard it before.
She caused an accident. That's all you need to know.
That's true.
All you need to know. So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067, your sex in public stories. Let's go to Ashley. She's on line one. I don't know why. I enjoy the stories more from the young ladies.
Of course.
But Ashley, welcome to the show. What happened?
I was 17 and I got caught twice. First time I was in a park with my boyfriend and the cops came and called my mom and made me go home and tell her what happened.
They called your mom and made you confess to her.
Yeah.
Was your mom shocked?
Yeah, she was not happy because it was kind of late and she was just a little more disappointed than anything.
That's worse than if they get mad.
Now, did she know that you guys were already having sex or is that how she found out that you were sexually active?
I think maybe she already knew. I don't know.
Okay. Please tell me you got caught the second time in the same place.
No, but nearby.
Nearby. Where was the second time?
The second time was like an industrial building area, and there was an alarm that had gone off, so the cops were patrolling, and they found us and then called for backup because they thought it was funny.
Oh, no.
Now, Kevin, haven't you told – thank you very much, Ashley, for the call. We appreciate it. Haven't you told the story about when you, hilariously, were a security guard at a college, and you would sometimes come across people who were getting amorous in public, right?
That was my work study program, me as a security guard.
No.
And I would break into the gym and play basketball. When I found people having sex, I'd just watch. Is that bad?
You're lucky you didn't get arrested.
Does that make me a bad guy?
A little creepy.
Let's go to Allie on line five while we're talking about creative locations. Allie, welcome to the Kevin Abid Show. Where were you guys?
We were in the intersection of the 134 and the 101 having sex.
Wait, that's not an intersection. That's just where the two split.
Yeah, exactly. Right there. My car had stalled, so he came to pick me up, and I got into his car, and he was like, let's do it. And so we're having sex while cars are passing by.
Oh, really?
Right there on the side of the road.
Right there on the side of the road, people were just driving by.
Did you say no? And he's like, look, I can give you a ride or not.
You give me a ride, I give you a ride.
She was all for it, Allie said. All right.
Awesome.
We're kind of notorious about having sex in public. We had sex in the church parking lot. We had sex, like, in a jacuzzi while his friends were there. It was kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. Now, is part of it for you guys the thrill of we might get caught? Does that add some excitement to it?
Yeah.
Or is it just that you're so horny you don't want to wait until you can get to a more private place?
No, it has to be if you're doing it someplace like right on a freeway where hundreds of cars are going to pass by.
Yeah, hundreds of cars are passing. Oh. It was the excitement. It was definitely one of those, I'm going to have this story to tell.
You did the right thing. And you are a great American, Allie.
Allie is a goer. I love it. Thank you. Let's go to Edgar while we're talking about public locations. Edgar is on line eight. He joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking public sex. Hi, Edgar.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
It was when I was younger, about 17 or 18, and I still didn't have a vehicle. So she was from a different school, mm-hmm. and this was back in Texas.
Right.
And we would meet up at the mall.
What part of Texas?
El Paso, Texas.
Okay, all right.
Which mall?
Oh, yeah. Do you know Texas, El Paso?
Did you meet in front of a store, a specific store, or was it different each time?
No, it was just, like, outside, like, around the mall.
Okay. Yeah, I think perhaps, Edgar, I think you're being mocked for giving us too many extraneous details. Where did you guys have sex?
We ended up having sex at the movie theater. It was during the time where Signs was showing.
Where what was showing?
Signs.
Oh. You know, the first 95% of that movie would have been worth staying awake for and watching. And the last 5%, have sex or fall asleep, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, well, we didn't see any of it. And then we were doing it behind, like, some seats, and an usher came in and started looking around.
Usher was there?
Okay.
The story just keeps getting weirder and weirder.
All right. Thank you, Edgar. I don't think we gave Edgar a fair run.
I don't either. I'm sorry.
Let's try, we got limited time here. Let's try Alyssa. Alyssa's on line six. She's in a very public place as well. One of the most populated places in the world, in fact. Alyssa, welcome to the Kevin DeBee Show.
Hi.
Hi. Where did you have sex in public?
Central Park in New York City.
Central Park. Okay. There's a lot of corners, a lot of trees, a lot of places you can hide.
It was actually right behind the tennis court that was up on the upper 80s.
Oh, I don't know where that is, but okay. It's behind the tennis court.
It was kind of by the reservoir. There was these huge rocks, so we were just chilling behind there, and he was my F-buddy at the time, so he said, let's go. So I was like, sure. Uh-huh. So we thought the rocks would hide us. Well, there ended up being people playing tennis.
Right.
Hold on a second here. There were people playing tennis on the tennis court?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Surprised by that, Alyssa.
I did. Well, it was a rainy day. I was like, seriously, people play on rainy days?
You're outside having sex, and it's a rainy day.
Well, that's acceptable.
So what did they do? They're on the other side of a fence for you. Did they call you out or something?
No, one guy, I guess he hit the ball over the fence, and it was kind of where we were at.
Oh, what a surprise.
He ran over, and he was like, oh, my God, this is sick, and he just ran away.
This is sick, and he was thinking, that was awesome.
There were way too many balls in play that day. For sure. All right. Thank you for the call. Look, we're out of time. We got a million calls. But people, keep doing what you're doing. Well done.
That's right. We applaud.
Rob is here on a Friday morning. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I'm here in the ocean.
The end of the song.
Someone have a shell up to their ear? Something going on?
That song sort of just fades into the surf for a while.
They're fishing, apparently, at the end of that song. Justin Bieber's a big fat liar.
This is unbelievable. I don't know why, but it's unbelievable.
He's a lying weasel who lies.
We should try to get him on the phone next there. We should try to catch up with Justin, see what he has to say about it. Defend himself.
Made a big deal about his stolen computer, remember? He was in Tacoma, Washington. Oh, my computer, my laptop was stolen with all my personal footage on it.
And at the time, you said, why is he not contacting the police?
Right. Why is he going public with this?
On Twitter.
Why is he making a statement? And then the guy who supposedly stole the laptop started tweeting back saying, I've got you. You're not password protected. It's a weak password, and I've got your stuff, and I'm going to post it. And you've been warned, Bieber. Tomorrow at noon, I'm going to post something no one's seen. And Bieber said, oh, my fans will still love me no matter what you do to me.
Because this is going to be bad for me.
And then Nicki Minaj posted yesterday, big surprise coming tomorrow at noon. And it turns out the whole thing is a publicity stunt built around the fact that they're releasing the video for the song they recorded together that apparently will be up on YouTube today.
His laptop wasn't stolen?
No.
There's no nude pictures of him?
No.
There's no other account with a guy mocking? It's all a giant lie.
Giant publicity stunt for a song called Beauty and the Beat. The music video apparently will be up today at noon.
I just can't believe this even happened. Oh, my goodness.
Tomorrow, punk, said the guy who supposedly stole his...
You can hear Justin in both of those, can't you?
Oh, absolutely. He's just created this whole fake argument for himself.
God, what a loser. And he wants to be taken more seriously, but he's still acting like he's four. What a loser.
I don't even know anybody in immigration who can pull his green card. Does he have to have a visa or something? I mean, nothing against Canada, but keep him.
No, blame Canada.
Blame Canada, yeah. I accidentally tweeted a joke about the giant maple syrup heist in Canada this week.
I made
a joke about it.
Oh, okay.
I said, the headline I read was, Canadian police make breakthrough in giant maple syrup heist. And it struck me as funny, and I tweeted, this is what crime is to Canada. Oh, Canada, you're so cute. That's what I wrote. And oh, did I get hatred.
Oh,
it was $30 million worth of syrup that was stolen. Those people have families. That's a big business here. You're a douchebag. It's like, dude, I'm just, you know.
You don't expect the Canadians to be wound tight.
I'm just saying.
I don't understand. I thought you were the king of Ottawa.
I am the king of Ottawa, but apparently.
He hasn't made it to Vancouver.
There's parts of Canada that are not happy with me. Yeah. I was just trying to draw a comparison. We have mass shootings here we have to live with every day. You guys had your maple syrup stolen. All things considered, I'd rather have that be my crime.
Agreed.
That's like a crime that happens in Gotham City or something. The giant maple syrup heist. Oh, it's Sweet Tooth again. Let's go, Boy Wonder. He steals all the maple syrup. It's kind of cute.
It is cartoonish.
It is. Yeah. So, what do I know? While we're talking about Canada, they're all related, too.
What?
All Canadians are related.
Okay.
Ancestry.ca, the Canadian website that tracks the ancestors of various Canadians, have done the research, and they say Justin Bieber, Avril Lavigne, and Ryan Gosling are all related. They share a common ancestor who emigrated from France back some 400 years ago.
And that man was Neil Young.
No, that's not the case at all. What? Bieber, Gosling, and Lavigne are all cousins. Bieber and Gosling being 11th cousins, Bieber and Lavigne being 12th cousins. That means they can bone.
Isn't like second cousins about as far as you, even if you get to
twice
that.
Twice removed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little crazy.
So that means every time we see a Canadian romance, like the Nickelback guy and Avril Lavigne, for instance, they're marrying relatives,
that's
right?
That's right. They're all the same.
Yeah. They all marry relatives in Canada. That's what I know. Signed, Ralph Garman.
When they're not stealing maple syrup.
Big maple syrup heist.
Mounties are closing in.
You did the right thing.
The maple syrup thieves.
How do you steal $30 million worth of maple syrup?
It was like there should be a movie. It should be like Ocean's 11 type movie. But they cut through the chain link fence and they hooked up hoses to these tanks and they siphoned it off and everything. It was awesome.
Over the course of 7 months?
It's serious.
Syrup doesn't
flow. Don't mock their syrup, man. You will get hatred on Twitter.
All right.
Someone called me racist.
Oh.
Which I answered, I didn't know Canadian was a race. I thought they were just a country. What do I know? That's why I'm not in the debates. And do we need another version of Willy Wonka? Do we need yet another version of Willy Wonka?
Absolutely not.
I don't think so.
There was the classic 70s film starring Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka, which is
the best one version
most people know and love.
Still holds up.
Absolutely, it does. And then, of course, Tim Burton made one with Johnny Depp. Made his own version of that.
That was really, I thought, really good, but not as good. Yeah.
Now they're doing a Broadway, brand new Charlie and the Chocolate Factory musical. Sam Mendes is going to be in charge of it, famous movie director. And Mark Shaiman and Scott Whitman, who did the musical Hairspray and have been writing music for the TV series Smash, they are going to write brand new songs for the brand new musical version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Good pedigree there.
And I'm guessing there will be then a movie version of the brand new musical version, so we will get Willy Wonka until we're weeping out of our buttholes.
Is that where you weep?
Sometimes where I weep. Well, it's all about chocolate. Today's celebrity birthday is John Hutcherson from The Hunger Games. Which one is he, Lisa? Do you know which one
Josh
Hutcherson
is?
I'm guessing he's the dreamy one, because there's just dreamy people.
There's two that are pretty dreamy.
He's 20 years old today. Tyler Blackburn from Pretty Little Liars is 26. Kirk Cameron from Growing Pains. And, of course, the epic tale Fireproof, where he plays a fireman trying to get his marriage back. But Jesus can save his marriage.
Put him on your Romney list. We're keeping track of celebrities who they're endorsing. He's come out for Mr. Romney so far.
There's a shock.
Well, you need to know how to vote, so you got to keep track of what the celebrities are saying. Because you reported earlier, I think, that Lindsay Lohan's in the Romney camp as well.
Right. I didn't, but
I did. She has come out for Romney.
She's come forward
for
Romney.
Which is funny. Yeah.
Her and Stacey Dash of Clueless fame.
Right.
So Romney's really racking up the high celebrity quotient there.
And I just feel like I'm, you know, my head is like watching a tennis match. I'm just going back and forth because, you know, one celebrity comes out for Obama and I go, all right, I got to vote for that one now. And then the other guy comes out for Romney. Now I got to switch. So it's going to go right down to the wire for me.
Hugh Jackman of X-Men fame is 44 years old today. And while we're talking things Kings, because we do have the Stanley Cup coming in today, Los Angeles Kings announcer Bob Miller celebrates his 74th birthday today. One of the best hockey broadcasters around. I know that's not a huge pool to choose from, but just saying.
There's some good ones.
He's really good. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
If the bar is 0-3, if you need somebody to pick the NFL games and go 0-3, I'm available. Right. I could be 0-3 every week. I could do that.
Sal has that nailed down, though. He's already handling that. He doesn't need your help, man. Look, here's the thing you do. You hear what Sal says, you go the other way. Boom. You're laughing all the way to the bank. Hi, Cousin Sal.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Back in the late 90s, I was waiting to pay my bookie in a Del Taco parking lot. I got bored and decided to have sex with a Puerto Rican transvestite.
We're done with that. Sorry.
Here's an email for you, Cousin Sal. And, of course, we all appreciate hearing from the public. Dear Kevin and Bean, well, I guess I'll never consider your boys' picks again. Tennessee got spanked. The Bears rolled the Jags. Hey, can I ask for a reimbursement? Bitter and broke. Chunker. So apparently you ruined Chunker's week last week with your 0-3 picks.
Chunker. Way to go, Sal.
Tell them I'll meet him in a Del Taco parking lot. I don't know what to do. I was awful. I was just awful. And you know what? I got too cocky. And pigs get greedy and hogs get slaughtered is what I was always told.
Well, you are still above 500. You're 8-7 overall with your picks on the air here. Of course, the Cousin Sal joins us every Friday to take a look at the weekend's games. You can follow him on Twitter at the Cousin Sal. Read him at grantland.com. And, of course, see him with his cousin Jimmy on the late night show on ABC. What kind of games have you got predictions for us for this week?
All right, I'm getting it back, guys, this week. And the Jets are playing the Colts. And we all know what the Colts did last week. They rallied for their coach and sidelined with leukemia. It was a great story. And I really think, like, everyone's coach should be stricken with a horrible disease to inspire the players. Don't you think?
Well, I'm not sure at all. I'm not sure that's the answer.
Well, these guys are getting divorced. They're putting in 95 hours a week with their team, watching tape and everything. All they really need is to get injected with a vial of the hantavirus, and you'll get the most of your players. That's really the way to do it.
All right.
Back to this game. I don't think the Colts could play at that level every week. It's impossible. They're the Colts, for God's sake. And I think the Jets are embarrassed. They showed some signs of light Monday against the Texans. And I think we see a healthy dose of Tim Tebow now that the schedule's been lighter. And you'll see things will get easier for him, and everyone will be clamoring for him as the MVP. Gangrene pours it on. This line's too low, I think. Give the 3.5 Jets. J-E-T-S, 30-16.
All right. It is hard to defend not putting in Tebow if what you're already doing up to this point is losing every game anyway. It literally can't get any worse. You put in Tebow and you just lose, right?
I agree, but I think this so much works out for this guy in the end. That's what happens. They don't want to put him in against the Texans because it's horrible. So this is the week they throw him in there.
All right. Next up, you're going to be giving us your pick with your head and your heart because it's your beloved Dallas Cowboys who have a tough game this weekend.
And if you know me, I'm the most serious doubter there is when it comes to the Cowboys. I rarely take my own team. But this is what the Cowboys do. They make you think they're done. Romo throws for 5 interceptions. And then they trick you into thinking they're good before they go back to being the same crap old team you always do. This is it. I think the zigzags this week, we're coming off a bye. The truth is the Ravens' defense isn't what it used to be. They're 20th and 21st, I think, against the run and pass. The old, intense gangsters are older and slower even now. And it's a good one. It's going to be a good game. Cowboys win this week, then miserable, then good, then miserable. 23-20, get the 3.5 points if you can.
All right. And finally, here's a game that you can imagine I can't wait for Sunday. The Patriots and their first visit in over 10 years to play in Seattle against the Seahawks. Tom Brady providing a little bit of bulletin board material talking about, I guess, kind of talking down the fans and the 12th man and their influence on the game.
Yeah, what is he care? I mean, here's the thing. It's not even all about Tom Brady anymore. And I know the Seahawks are in the thick of things every week, and I know they're extra impressive at home, but I don't feel they have the firepower to stay with this New England team. The Patriots have a running game. They have a running game. It's 3rd and 4, and they're handing off, and it's working. It's not fair. It's like if Brad Pitt gets dimple implants. it's too much if they're running, and the league is in trouble. And I don't know. I think the Seahawks play catch-up all game. They're not going to have enough in the tank. 27-13. Take the Patriots, giving the 4 points.
There you go. What's your impression, if I can ask you, of Russell Wilson, who's only played in 4 NFL games? He's our rookie quarterback. I think he gets better every game. I don't know if he's good enough to beat the Patriots, but where do you see him right now?
I think he does. It's funny we bring up Tebow. I think he's sort of a version of Tim Tebow in that he manages the game well. He's a little lucky that the defense keeps him in these games. You know, at halftime, Seattle's given up 10 points, so they're in the game. If they had given up 20, I think they'd be out of it. But he doesn't make too many mistakes. And you know what, guys? It's not about the X's and O's. It's about the Jims and Joes.
Wow. I'm gonna take that one into the weekend and pray over that.
You've dropped that one, Sal.
The Jets minus 3.5 over the Colts. Cowboys take the 3.5 over the Ravens, and the Patriots minus 4 over Seahawks. Those are Cousin Sal's picks. Again, you can read much more about the NFL weekend at Grantland.com and follow him on Twitter at TheCousinSal. Sal, have a great weekend, man. Thank you.
Bye, Sal. Thanks.
I'm a little bit giddy that the Stanley Cup is in the building, by the way.
There's very few objects
that you get that excited about, but it's the freaking Stanley Cup, and there it is, and it's coming in here in just a few minutes with our good friend Luke Robitaille, and we'll talk what's going on in hockey. That's on the way. First, though, a story that Ralph Garman has been covering all day long that does not look good for Justin Bieber. This alleged personal footage that was stolen off of a computer after a concert the other night, it's all starting to smell like some big PR stunt to debut a new video this afternoon at noon with Nicki Minaj.
So his computer, it looks like, wasn't stolen.
Yes. Looks like the whole thing is just a big, hey, I punked you guys, and this is just promotion for my latest lame video.
F him. Giant and remember, ass. Everybody was like, oh, nude pictures of Justin Bieber. Oh, let's check them and make sure and see what they are. Shut up.
Let's, why guess? When we've got the hookup, Justin Bieber joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show to explain what the heck is going on. Hi, Justin.
What's going on, eh?
You're a douchebag is what's going on.
Hey.
You are a douche.
What's with all the questions, bro?
Well, we haven't asked any questions yet, but respond to Kevin's accusation that you are, in fact, a douche if this is all some poorly managed publicity stunt just to get people to look at your new video.
Hold on a second, will you? Justin Bieber, you're going to be sorry I stole your computer.
I knew it!
What? I'm busy. Hey, what's up, guys?
We're calling about the story that your computer wasn't.
It was. My computer was stolen, eh? Can you believe that?
Wasn't stolen. And the Twitter war is
Washington State taking my computer?
And
what's
the Twitter
that,
war
eh?
is between you and yourself with another account.
Bro. It ain't like that, yo.
It looks an awful lot like it's like
no,
that.
No, my computer was stolen by some Cherokees.
What? No, your computer wasn't stolen at all. Look,
yeah,
what are you?
They broke into my camp and they scalped my manager and then they took my computer
that
on
doesn't
horseback.
Happen anymore?
Yeah, you're making up stories.
It in a show.
What are you typing on right now? If your computer
Nothing,
was stolen,
I'm talking to you guys.
Right? Because we heard you.
My phones were stolen.
There you are again.
No matter what you post.
Look.
What?
How do you expect anyone to buy this? Why would you be interacting on Twitter with the person who stole your stuff rather than,
I
don't know.
I'm looking for justice, eh? I'm like Batman, eh?
You're nothing like
How
Batman.
How are you like Batman?
Because I have had a grave injustice done to me, and now I will fight for justice in the dark times with my cape on, eh?
Uh-huh. And, you know, Batman never fought with himself, though.
I'm not fighting myself either. Bieber, you're in trouble when I post that.
Okay,
crazy video at noon today.
You're doing it again. If this were
That's
real,
up
why?
To you what I'm doing over here, okay? Let's stick to the conversation.
We can hear you. You're talking out loud.
Hey, where's all that maple syrup they stole, eh? What happened with that crime? I got to fight that crime, too.
We don't know anything about that. But look, here's the thing, Justin. You're already popular. You've got a fan base. There's no shame in saying, hey, I've got a new video that I'm proud of, and I'm releasing it tomorrow at noon.
No, it's not like that.
Your computer didn't get stolen. You just
no,
made
there
up
was
a
whole squad of Eskimos came in and took it in their
You said Indians.
With their
now
whale
it's
blubber.
Eskimos?
There were Indian Eskimos. There were black Indian Eskimo Hispanics.
No one stole your laptop. This is just you being a dick.
It was stolen, eh?
Hold
a second. Wait till you see what I do to you, Justin Bieber. At noon, you are in big trouble.
Okay,
eh?
We get that your video comes out at noon, Justin. The point has been made, but the what we're saying is it's a ridiculous length to go to just to promote a new music video.
I'm shocked that you guys would accuse me of that.
You,
eh?
Sir, are a liar.
I am not a liar. I am nothing but not a liar.
Well said, yeah.
Hey, you guys
can't argue
buy
with that defense.
Some black market syrup?
No, wait, what? Ralph, did you wear your Flyers jersey today as you threatened
he
us with
not.
Yesterday?
He threatened to, but he knew better. He knew I would check him against the board, hip check, wearing his Philadelphia jersey. Not happening.
The king, the Stanley Cup would strike him down, would kill
That's
him
correct.
On spot if he approached it with a Flyers jersey on it.
That's
why,
correct.
Why would that happen?
Just because it's
the Flyers
Kings.
Won it twice?
It's the Kings.
Right, because it's
talking
Kings,
ancient history, sure, but we're talking about today, man.
Uh-huh.
Talking about who the current owners of the cup are.
Well, I'm looking forward to them finding what I put in the cup.
Look, there's nothing you can put in the cup that hasn't been put in the cup before. Well, let's face it.
Hasn't been put there today.
We'll talk all things Stanley Cup and what's going on with hockey, with our friend Luke Robitaille coming up after the top of the hour. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Friday.
Maybe he'll get lucky, Maybe Seattle will win the cup this year.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Shut up.
Although you love ancient history, and Seattle did win the first Stanley Cup, if you'll recall.
No, none of us recall that.
Seattle won the first Stanley Cup?
Yes. Seattle Metropolitans. I think it was 1917. First cup.
It wasn't even a cup. It was a paper cup then.
No, yeah. It was the Stanley Cup.
With no names on it. It was like one ring and a wooden base.
I'd like to check when the actual statue was made, the Stanley Cup. I'd like to check.
Believe me, I know it because I keep current about 1917 sports scores.
Everyone's
got
a category.
1917 for that.
Well, Ralph's the one who brought up Seattle winning the cup. I thought it was appropriate.
I'm saying this season. You think they'll win the cup?
I don't think they have a shot. No, we have no team.
That's
anymore.
Right. You have no team.
At least Ralph has a team.
At least I have a team. If you have no team, you really don't get to have this spirited sports debate.
Oh, he was talking smack. That's what you're...
Yeah.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
How can you talk smack when you have no team?
Maybe he follows the Kings like I do. Ralph.
You live in Los Angeles.
All right. Time for the showbiz. Here's Ralph. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Celebrity Apprentice All-Stars. Donald Trump's back.
Oh,
with
thank
the
God.
All-Star Celebrity Apprentice. Debuts
you
in
You don't
March.
Know, man.
You don't know, man. They just released the list of people who will be competing.
If Gary Busey's not in it, then I'm not watching.
Why don't you just wait?
All right.
Why don't you wait for me to read the list?
The Meatloaf's not in it, and I'm not watching.
See what you're watching, what you're not watching.
All right.
Country superstar Trace Adkins.
Nope.
Right-wing lunatic Stephen Baldwin.
He can be crazy.
So this is All-Stars. These are all contestants we've previously seen on the show, right?
Hence the reason I called it the All-Star Celebrity Apprentice.
All right.
Penn Jillette.
He's always fascinating. But
Lil Jon. He was good.
He was good.
I remember.
Dennis Rodman.
Oh, he was terrible. He was terrible.
Yeah, he was terrible.
They couldn't even keep
work
him
at
there.
All. He didn't even show up half the time.
I'm just going to go home.
Yeah.
Dee Snider. Marilu Henner. LaToya Jackson.
She's crazy.
Of course.
Claudia Jordan. She's an actress?
I don't know who that is.
I don't know who that is either, but apparently she's been on the show before. Lisa Rinna. Mm-hmm. No. Brett Michaels. Playmate of the Year, Brandi Roderick.
Now, you hmmed at Brett Michaels, but didn't he either win or get right down to the final two? He was an excellent competitor, I believe.
I don't care about the competitors and who wins, Bean. I go for crazy. You know that.
Okay.
Omarosa.
Oh, my.
Really?
From the very first Apprentice is coming back. You know, we have to see a slow motion tape package of her now deceased fiancé,
yeah.
Michael Clark Duncan. That's the only thing I regret about her inclusion.
And how she's pushing
to
on.
Listen to her, so, oh, she's so brave. She's so magical. And then she's going to cry at some point. And
if you guys remember, she
Brett
was...
Michael's going to have to headbutt her and he'll get another hemorrhage. And it's just going to go south very quickly in that boardroom.
And by the way, when that episode airs, that's bad news for K-Rock because we get all the hate mail because you'll recall Michael Clark Duncan died of a broken heart when Kevin called him out on the air.
That's right, when he called him a girl.
Right. I said he threw like
wanted
a girl.
Wanted to fight him. Remember, you said, I want to fight you, and then he had a heart attack and died like right on the spot.
As everyone does when I threaten to fight him.
That's right. Luke Robitaille just clutched his chest and went down.
I didn't hear Gary Busey.
And the 14th contender.
Or Meatloaf.
Gary Busey.
Yes!
Participating this year.
Today, I'm very... proud of myself.
All right, take it easy.
No loaf. No loaf, however.
That's all right, as long as you got Busey.
Get the Busey, you don't need the loaf.
That's right. That's I've always said
Kevin's
that.
Always said that. He's got that t-shirt on right now. Coincidentally, he's wearing that.
You'll remember they were on the same season of Celebrity Apprentice and really just locked horns, went at each other.
Oh, that's right. That's when Meatloaf lost it.
Yeah, he was screaming.
Yep.
Don't you take my paint sponges! Losing his mind.
That was craziness.
Gary's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I made a Buseyism about that. Never always take paint in bags ever put together.
Remember when
that
guy,
Gary? Matt Piquet. Remember that guy was pranking us, calling his Gary Busey?
He was awesome. For sounded just like him.
3 or 4 weeks, we thought it was him.
We thought it was the Buse. And then we had the actual Buse in, remember?
Yep.
He was smoking a cigar in the studio. It's like, Gary, you
I don't know Kevin and Bean. But yeah. Kevin and Bean, if you're out there, that's not me calling you.
Yeah. And he did. More reality TV show news. The Game is getting married to a high school teacher named Tiffany Cambridge. What's her deficiency that she's marrying The Game? She sounds like a reasonable person. Marrying The Game is the show. It'll be on VH1 and November the 19th it kicks off, so you can follow all of the important
details. Are you kidding? If you were in high school, if your teacher was married to The Game, you are not acting out.
I would give her no sass. No back talk.
No talk of any kind.
And Dennis Leary, glad to see he's stretching a little bit. Super talented guy. He, of course, had that long-running successful show Rescue Me about New York City firefighters.
It was a good show.
It was. Dennis Leary is now doing a show called Sirens about emergency medical technicians in Chicago. So it's nice that he's making a big departure for himself.
Wow, branching out.
Coming back with a new show about people who went from saving lives to people who go and save lives. A lot of drama there. I can see why he's doing it.
Let me give you a Buseism about that.
I wish you could see Ralph's face when he does that impression.
Well, you got to put your teeth way out there if you're going to do Busey.
Celebrity birthdays. Bob Miller. Speaking of the Los Angeles Kings.
That's
long-time
what I'm
announcer
talking
for
about.
That team is 74 years old today. Hugh Jackman is all jacked up these days as he films the Wolverine movie. 44 years old. Kirk Cameron from Growing Pains fame. Also the man who told us that God exists because there are bananas. Mm-hmm. He's 42 years old. Tyler Blackburn from Pretty Little Liars is 26. And Josh Hutcherson, who played PETA in The Hunger Games. We have deciphered which one he was. He is a dreamy 20.
He's the one who throws blood on Lady Gaga, right? That's him?
That's PETA, the organization.
Yeah.
It's Friday, right?
It's really...
Should we file it?
File.
Oh, hell yes.
It is Friday, yes.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Maybe forever. Two guys in studio who are there. They're part of that crowd that we're hearing right now. Our own K-Rock's Kevin and, of course, the great Luke Robitaille, who joins us here in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Luke.
Hey, how are you?
Very good. How are you, buddy? You still think about that night? Still think about
You know, I was running around the last 10 seconds, and I didn't even realize how loud it was. It's pretty cool.
Mr. Robitaille, who's been a frequent guest on the Kevin and Bean Show for many, many years, including back when he played for us, is in studio with his friend today, the Stanley Cup. You probably never get tired of being with the Stanley Cup, right, Luke?
I imagine never.
It's just the little boy in you still goes, I can't believe that's it, and it's real, and I'm right here with it.
You never do. I mean, for me, you know, growing up in Montreal, the Montreal Canadiens seems like they were winning it every year. And as a kid, you only saw like the parade, where there'd be like, you know, a couple hundred or 300,000 or 500,000 people, and you would see this piece of silver in the middle of it. You know,
someplace over there.
They always had it like in those convertible cars, and it was crazy. So the other day, it was we were in a restaurant. We kind of just had it in the middle. I was looking. I go, that's the same thing I used to see in the 70s with Guy Lafleur and all those big stars like I idolized. I was like, it hit me. I was like, wow, it's pretty cool.
Did that mess with your head, though? If your team won it a lot, then when you start playing and you realize how unbelievably difficult it is to actually win, what a feat that must have been for them.
It did mess with my head, because
how come
really
I haven't
did.
Won it yet?
You thought, like, my team growing up, I mean, obviously being from Montreal, was a Canadian. Then as I got a little bit older, I loved the Oilers, the Edmonton Oilers. Then they were winning every 2-3 years, so it just seemed like it was easy. When I came as a player, and I remember in 93 we played with
Montreal.
The Kings. Yeah, against Montreal, and we lost. I remember I look at Rob Blake, my teammate, and I says, we'll be right back next year. We'll win it, you know. We didn't make the playoffs, so like the next 6 years. I mean, you realize how hard it is, and you got to have everything going right at the right time. It's amazing.
I know they take the rings off the cup and then save those in the museum, you know, the Hall of Fame and everything as they add new names. How far down do the names go? Like, what's the oldest one on the cup today?
I know if once your name goes on it, it takes 57 years.
57
for
years?
For the top ring to go out and put it in a wall at the Hall of Fame, and it's pretty neat. So each ring, I think, is 13 years.
Have they put the Kings on there yet?
Yep.
They have?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Sweet. We just because
I have a nail. I was going to offer to scratch it in there if you needed some help.
And it traveled all summer, so it was a little bit dinged up. And now when we put it back and they put the name, they kind of fixed it up again. It's pretty neat, you know.
What
this
kind of
has history?
What kind of dinging happened to it?
It got dropped and stuff. It got dropped a couple times, you know, and things just happen. And there's a bottom of the cup, so every time someone puts it down, it keeps kind of sinking in.
Sure.
And then the rings itself even got a little bit crooked as time went, because there's always like people put their baby in it or something. Plus, our guys took it to some party in Hollywood and they had a little person sitting in. That wasn't really good.
Cup could speak.
Yeah, we got a call from the league on that one.
The league?
Oh, yeah.
The league pays that close of attention to what's...
Because it was on TMZ. That was not a good thing.
Oh, yeah. Look, if you have a little person in a cup, that's what you do.
Exactly. With a Kings jersey, too.
Now, your name, of course, is on there as a player when you won the cup with Detroit. Do you also get your name on it again as the president of business operations for Los Angeles?
Yeah,
you do.
Got it twice, so it's pretty cool.
Wow.
You know, this, you know, to have it as a Kings is certainly something special. I remember in 86, I wanted to be part of the team that would win it in L.A., and certainly to be part of the organization has been pretty special.
Is it difficult mindset when you go all the way to the finals and then don't win it and think you'll be back, and then you're not, and then... Like, that must mess with your head.
Well, you know, when you're a player, like, you always think about the next game. And then when you start the season, you really do believe you're going to win it all. You have a real shot at it. And every time you win a game, you're like, man, we're going for it. But until you win the whole thing, that's when you realize how hard it is and how much it takes. I mean, if you lose it, you think you're close. But you have to win it to realize that your fourth line player, the player that sometimes only plays two shifts a game, how much he meant to the team and how much, you know, the assistant coach, they give you a tip here and there, and injuries plays into it. That's until you win, you never quite get how much it takes to really do it. And, you know, that's what makes it very special.
Where did the cup go with your Kings players this summer out of the country?
Oh, it went to Russia. I mean, Slava Voynov, our player, took it there, and I don't even know his city, but I know they landed and they had to drive forever. What was really cool is Anze Kopitar had it in Slovenia, and that was the first time it's been in that country, and he took it to the grave of his grandma and in front of the castle. It was one of the best pictures we've had all summer. It was him on this kind of like Viking kind of boat, you know, overlooking a...
Is it still his current mode of transportation?
I know, I think it is back there, you know. So it's been around a little bit, and you know, our obviously our coach in Canada had it. He had his horse eating out of it. So,
it's been unbelievable. What are some of the rules? I think people would be surprised. What are some of the rules about drinking out of it, holding it above your head, all that stuff?
Well, there's a guard with him. I mean, even this morning we have our guard with us,
but wearing white gloves.
One of the rules is you have to be either, at least for sure, a player or upper management to be able to raise it above your head. So no one can
raise it above their
head.
Before we get to that, you don't touch it till you win it.
Well, the players, that's the thing.
That's
most players do not want to touch until they win it, you know. But there's some kids, sometimes they touch it, and I look at them and go, do you want to make the NHL? They go, yeah. I go, don't touch it. What's wrong with you, you know?
Okay, so then once you win it, you have to win it to raise it above your head. So if I grabbed it and put it above my head, would I get shot by a sniper?
He might jump you. Tackle you down. And, you know, if you want to drink out of it, you have to be in presence of someone that's won it. So
they have to kind of invite you?
And he has to pour. And it kind of sucked because at first you think it's a great thing. Yeah, it's only me that can pour. But after like an hour when you got a party of a couple hundred people, your arms are dead tired.
But that's a nice problem to have, that your arms are tired from pouring champagne into a
Yes.
It makes it a lot of fun. Yeah.
Matthew Perry, you probably saw this, Luke, who's a huge Kings supporter and fan and has been for a long time. He told a very funny story out with Jimmy Kimmel the other night. I guess the cup came to his house. He had a big party and with some other players. The cup came to his house. And he was talking about how it was his lifelong dream as a hockey fan to drink out of the cup. But, of course, he's sober now, so he drank like Red Bull or something out of it. He's like, it wasn't what I dreamed it would be, but it was still so cool. It's just, I mean, we talk about it every time we have the cup, and it's been to K-Rock a few times over the years. I mean, there's nothing comparable to it in sports. There's not, I mean, look, all the major sports have great trophies, but this one is the one that people just, they turn into little kids when they see it. And you must see that all the time when you're out with it, right?
Yeah. I mean, it is the greatest trophy in sport. And you see, even if you're not a hockey fan and you see the trophy, there's something very special. I mean, first of all, it's 120 years old. So, you know, right away you see the history and you realize when you look inside, some drunk guys in 1902 try to carve their names in it, and it's still there, you know. And you're like, man, these guys were really partying. That's how it started, you know. And it's pretty neat. But, like, to give you a quick example, we took it to a children's hospital, and there was a little kid there who hadn't got out of his wheelchair for a couple weeks after a big back surgery. And I think he was 14 or 15 years old. And you could clearly tell he didn't know anything about the hockey and the Kings.
Okay.
But he saw the trophy.
It's an impressive.
When he saw the trophy, to take a picture of a trophy, he got up and he wanted to be standing next to
it. Did you yell, "It's a miracle"?
No, I saw it. I didn't know what was going on. I saw his mom. She started to cry. And we were like, what? You know, so that was pretty neat. You know, you kind of see the power of what little things could do like that sometimes.
Well, the cup has been all over Southern California all summer long, including you were meeting with the public yesterday at Knott's Berry Farm and the ESPN Zone at LA Live. You were at the Grove, I guess, this week. Today, the cup is going to be at the Americana at Brand in Glendale, 889 Americana Way in Glendale. It's going to be there from 11 till 1. You can line up forming. The line forms near the green if you want to have your picture taken with the cup. Luke Robitaille is here. We have so much more to talk about, including will there ever be hockey again? We'll address that right after this on the Kevin DeBeach on K-Rock. President of Business Operations for the Los Angeles Kings. Excuse me, the Stanley Cup-winning Los Angeles Kings.
That's right. Please
Luke Robitaille,
you remember that.
In studio with us here on the Kevin DeBeach Show, one of our listeners and a fan of yours, Angel, tweeted a photo out, Luke, of you holding the cup on top of what looks like a Los Angeles Kings custom motorcycle.
Oh, yeah.
that's a pretty sweet ride right there, my friend.
It is pretty. Actually, that was a bike that was given to our old owner, Bruce McNall. And then in 98, they auctioned it off at our Kings Care event, Tippett King, and I bought it there.
Really?
Oh, wow. My dad has it now.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Neat. Yeah.
That's very cool. Well, listen, it's so much fun to have you in, as always, and it's great to see the cup and hear about the cup, but we're in an interesting place right now for hockey fans. I know that you have some limits as to what you're allowed to talk about, but how likely are we to have a season this year? Is it as bad as all that?
You know, we all believe there will be a season. We just don't know when. I think both sides are talking. I mean, they talked yesterday. I think they're planning on having more meetings in the next few days. So we all feel as long as everyone's talking, you know, there's a chance for us to play. I think everyone, hockey fans, everybody's hoping that this thing gets resolved as soon as possible.
You were saying 2 weeks? That's crazy.
Yeah.
2 weeks. Once it gets settled, 2 weeks, the teams return, they work out, and they're out on the ice playing?
That was a politically correct answer, by the way, Mike.
It was.
It was
very well done.
I just want to make sure.
It was very well done.
Well, you don't
want to get fined?
That's right. I don't want to get fined, man. I don't want to get in trouble. No, I think it's about that. If this thing gets resolved, it would be about a 2 week training camp for the players, and then you get going right away. So that's why every player right now, some of them are playing in Europe, and the other guys are all skating, and every day you can see guys across North America skating.
Now legally, you can't talk to them because you're part of the management.
We're not allowed to make contact.
You're the man,
with players.
Man.
You're the man. You become
the man. I don't know about the man. We're not allowed to talk.
But what about some of these players that are playing with the European clubs? Don't they have a contract with them? If the NHL comes back, are they allowed to just break that contract and fly home?
Yeah, most teams. I mean, not most teams. All teams in Europe sign those guys, and in the contract it says the minute the NHL comes back, they have to go back.
Good.
And
oh, so they understand it going in.
Yeah, a lot of those guys though, they just want to play. You know, they want to stay in shape, and I don't think the guys are making a ton of money there. They're pretty much paying for their insurance in case something were to happen,
right.
And that's about it, and, just to stay in shape.
Without putting you in a tight spot because, well, again, I know, and I apologize for that. I'm not trying to get you to play
Let's get
soap.
Him fined. Let's figure out a way to get him fined.
I'm not trying to get you to place blame or anything like that, but can you tell us just in the broadest possible terms how far apart the sides are in terms of, obviously, this is mostly about money. I mean, is it one team wants 10, you know, one side wants 10% more or less than the other one, or is it 30%, 50%? How big is the chasm?
I mean, it is definitely the difference between this time and last time in 2004 is it's always about money, but the template is there. You know, the structure of the collective bargaining agreement is in place. It's just that it's skewed a little bit too much one way towards your players, and I think, you know, what everyone's trying to do is to bring it back a little bit closer where it makes more sense and teams can go out there and run a better business. And for the long run, it's better for the league. It's better for everyone.
Is hockey a profitable business to be in? If I own a franchise, am I doing pretty well for myself? Or is it, like with some other sports, kind of a tough way to make a living?
I'm going to be careful. I really don't want to get fined, but I think you could get better investment.
It's not the best investment.
So not all teams are making money.
I would say this. Most owners, that's not their number one business.
I understand. I got you there. If you had to guess, Luke, is this something you think will be settled in 2 weeks, in 2 months, in 6 months? I guess by then they'll blow off the whole season. But, I mean, what's your feeling?
I think we're all hoping it's going to get settled quickly. But it's hard to guess because, like I said, the most important, like a couple weeks ago, I would have told you I think it's going to be a long time because they're not talking. But now that both sides are talking, I mean, at any time, you know, they could just start talking about, and if they come to an agreement, it could be fairly quick, yeah.
Yeah. You know what's frustrating about this is the same thing that happened, you know, after the last strike. After every strike that happens, you go, at some point, they're going to come to an agreement.
Yeah.
Why does it take so long? It gets frustrating.
It's union, you know, like you hear that in any big companies in any big world. There's 700 players and they're fighting for their rights. And then there's the owners that are. They're paying a lot of money, and they're trying to make the deal work a little bit better.
Who's
for
themselves. To blame specifically?
You guys are killing me.
I told you I'm going to try and get you fined.
I'm just joking with that question. All right, so I guess we'll just we'll just stay tuned. Look, everyone wants hockey to come back, but no one wants hockey to come back more than the Los Angeles Kings. I mean, imagine what that first game back is going to be as you prepare to defend your title. I mean, you get chills just thinking about that.
Yeah, we're excited. Our fans are really excited. I mean, we're ready to pull up the banner and bring back the cup one more time. I mean, it's we've had a long time to get our opening night ready.
Sure,
and you know, we got something that's going to be pretty special for our fans. So,
and you
we're
still
excited
got the
about
team.
Yep.
You still got the team.
We
to
got our entire
make another
team
run.
Back, and we signed everybody, so everybody's coming back. So for us, we want to make another run. It's been so much fun. We want to make another run at it. And the good thing about it now is we stay Stanley Cup champions until we start playing again.
Right,
good
that's
point.
The good thing.
So I guess it's
an upside.
It's the upside of a really bad situation.
You got to look at the positive sometimes, you know.
So if this goes on for 2 years, we're the Stanley Cup. Do they put our names back on it next year? Does that happen?
I love it. All right. We are unfortunately out of time, but believe me, everyone in this building is lining up to get their picture taken with the Stanley Cup here at K-Rock. It's a big thrill for us. Luke, it's always great to see you. Please keep in touch and let us know what's going on, all right, dude?
You bet you. I will, guys.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Okay.
That's the latest from Muse, by the way, called Madness. And if you haven't heard, they added a second date at Staples Center on the 24th of January. Tickets are going on sale today at 10 for both dates. Ralph is here. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat for the week. What's going on, Ralph?
With a bad stutter like that, I'm surprised that guy's even in music.
That's
madness. It's with Bachman Turner Overdrive.
They should have gotten a stutterer. That would have been funny.
I think they did. Before I get to showbiz news, Beam, would you like to rescind any lies that you've told today on the show, or would you just like to move on?
You lied.
Would you like to take back your lies, or are you going to stand by your lies?
I'm just curious. Me what I lied about. I am always happy to admit when I'm wrong.
I'm just curious to know that if you're standing by your lie that the Seattle Metropolitans were the first team ever to win the Stanley Cup. I'm just curious whether
I have been advised that they were the first American team to win the Stanley Cup.
Oh, so they weren't the first team to win the Stanley Cup?
I misspoke, and I apologize.
So you want to stand by your lies, or you're taking your lies back now?
I misspoke,
what are you
and
doing
I
with your lies these days? It's hard to be for to follow with so many lies flying around.
He
with
leaves
what you're doing
most of them standing.
With your lies. lies these days.
I had my computer stolen, and there may be a sex tape out there.
That's what I thought.
Wouldn't that be the best thing in the world ever?
No.
Ever.
There's only one celebrity sex tape I would never watch.
Wait, can you imagine?
What if it was Charlize Theron?
I would watch
it. What if it was Charlize Theron?
Even more reason for me not to watch it. Are you kidding me? I would watch Hulk Hogan on an endless loop. I would have it coaxial cable just shoved into my cerebral cortex and just play it for the rest of my life rather than see your sex tape once.
You don't know, man.
I do know. Trust me. Of all the things I'm unsure of, that is not one of them.
It could be really hot.
Oh, dear God.
Wow, no.
Oh.
I can make sex.
No, nope.
Oh, please, stop.
I don't even believe that.
Oh, breakfast is coming back, people.
No reversals. Come on, that's our policy.
Be a big reversal.
All right, let me wipe that image out of your mind with some good news. Donald Trump announced the cast list for his All-Star Celebrity Apprentice debuting in March. All you need is two words to make this worthwhile. Gary Busey.
Yes.
All you need to know.
There it is.
That's it.
Buse will be involved along with Trace Atkins. Who, by the way, I'm no country music fan. I'm not sure if you're aware of this or not.
I'm not
a big fan
more
of
than anyone
music.
I've ever met.
However, I did watch the season he was on, and he was remarkable.
Really?
Yes.
He's a smart dude.
Hard worker, great manager, did a great job on the show. Stephen Baldwin will also be returning. Penn Jillette, good to see him back. Lil Jon, Dennis Rodman, Dee Snider, also a guy who had a lot on the ball on that show.
Dennis Rodman.
I don't know why they're
bringing Rodman. Added him. They just padded
the list.
They're
just going to put a bottle of booze in his hand and just put him in a corner and just hope for something to happen.
Yeah. I would more expect to see him on Dr. Drew's rehab show than on Celebrity Apprentice again.
Mary Lou Henner. She's going to be on the show.
All right.
You know she's got Total Recall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
She's a genius level memory.
Any day of her life, name the date. She will tell you what she ate, where she went.
I can't do that for yesterday.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. There's like four people in the world that have been tested and actually have this.
She has a perfect memory.
Wow.
It's insane.
She'll walk into her closet, Kevin, and we saw this on 60 Minutes. She'll pick up a pair of shoes and she'll tell you what date she bought them and where and what days she's worn them.
I don't want
that's
that
how good
of
her
memory
is. Yeah, it's insane.
LaToya Jackson, who's one of the other four people who has a mind like that,
nope,
surprisingly enough.
I do not believe she does.
How was she available, Ralph?
I guess she lost her job as an usher in Branson, seating people in the Osmond Theater or whatever she was doing. Claudia Jordan, still don't know who she is, but she's on the show.
She must be hot because they usually have...
Probably a model.
They have a couple hotties, Randy Roderick, former Playmate of the Year. She's going to be back on the show. Brett Michaels will be returning. Lisa Rinna, actress, author, and lips. She will be back. And Omarosa.
The
original
And
Apprentice.
By star, you mean villain.
She was the villain of the original Apprentice. And I believe she came back. Didn't she play opposite Piers Morgan?
I don't remember.
Didn't they have a big falling out, a big on-screen battle or something, one of the seasons? Anyway,
sounds about right.
Anyway, that's your lineup for the Celebrity Apprentice All-Stars coming in March.
Claudia Jordan, Ralph. Is one of the models on Deal or No Deal.
Ah.
Well, I am embarrassed that with that level of superstardom, I was unaware of who she was.
She's suitcase number 6. Do not mock.
Is that show even on?
I don't know. Deal or No Deal? Well, she's former Miss Rhode Island Teen USA. And,
now I'm even more embarrassed. Because I have all the Rhode Island Teen Miss USAs committed to memory. I'm like Mary Lou Henner when it comes to Miss
I'm
Rhode
proud
Island.
Of you for not knowing who it was.
Yeah, actually. She co-hosted the Miss Universe pageant in 2009.
Okay,
so that's where we know her from.
Right, we got a lot of information.
That's the deep background.
She was in a video with Fabulous.
Claudia Jordan was the first person to win the Stanley Cup, I understand.
First American.
That's how famous she is. X Factor. Big deal this week because all of the contestants get to go to the homes of the judges to work on their craft. Simon Cowell, Britney Spears, Demi Lovato, Ella Reid, they all brought them into their own homes to work with them.
That's really cool.
It is cool. Oh, wait a minute. Let me read the fine print here. Not their actual homes. It turns out news broke today.
So they made a big deal about it being their home.
You come into my house and I will teach you the ways of the world in my own home. And it turns out they were using other people's rented houses to actually film those sequences.
And you wouldn't blame them, but why would they then
make a deal out of it?
Why make a big deal out of it?
Right.
And it wasn't the real Demi Lovato. It was a Demi Lovato impersonator who was showing you around.
That's right, yes. It was Remy Lovato, her cousin.
Oh, you misunderstood.
I understand it. Bean must be working over that show with all the lies they're talking about over there in the extra.
That's true.
That's all I'm saying.
Bean is a lying liar who lies.
Tom Hanks is going on Broadway. He will be starring in a drama written by the late Nora Ephron, who, of course, wrote a couple of big movies for Tom in the 90s, Sleepless in Seattle and You've Got Mail. Tom will star as a New York City crime reporter. The show opens on Broadway in April of next year. First time Tom Hanks has ever been on Broadway. I found that hard to believe, but he's been a movie star for so long, I guess he didn't have time for the stage. And just to recap, we were talking about this all day today. Justin Bieber's stolen personal footage scandal. He reported that he had a laptop stolen while he was on stage, apparently, in Tacoma, Washington.
Big deal. Nude photos, a whole scandal.
And he was tweeting. He was very concerned about the personal footage that was on that laptop. He was concerned was going to get out there. Then a guy started appearing on Twitter claiming he was the one who stole the laptop. And you'll be sorry, Justin Bieber, and I'm going to post personal footage about you noon on Friday, meaning today, and went back and forth very publicly. Turns out the whole thing's a PR stunt for a new music video he's done with Nicki Minaj called Beauty and the Beat.
So he lied about getting his computer stolen. He lied about having pictures put up.
Yes.
Basically, he just is a dick.
Yes. Now we know why Bean likes him so much, because they have they're a kindred spirit when it comes to telling lies.
I don't know much about the Bieber. Never see him. I don't know what he does.
Today's celebrity birthday is Bob Miller. He's 74 years old today. He is the voice of your Los Angeles Kings.
Is his name on the cup? Does he get to be engraved as the announcer, I wonder?
I'm not positive.
How deep they go into the organization.
Not positive.
Hugh Jackman, The Wolverine, is the movie he's currently filming. He is 44 years old today. In better shape today than he's ever been in his entire life at the age of 44. Hate him so much. Kirk Cameron, 42 years old today. He is, of course, from Growing Pains. Best known for saying that homosexuality is going to be the end of civilization.
He's one of those?
He's one of those.
And the banana proves God.
And the banana proves that there's a God, because it fits perfectly in your hand.
So does this, Kirk.
Which supports homosexuality.
That's going to confuse him so much.
I know. It's very banana-esque. You don't even need to peel it to enjoy it. Tyler Blackburn from Pretty Little Liars is 26 years old today, and Josh Hutcherson, who played PETA in The Hunger Games, is 20. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, K-Rock's Party in the Paddock with Pepper is tomorrow, Saturday at Serona's Bar at Santa Anita. Exclusive concert with Pepper, $5 before 4 p.m., $20 after 4 p.m. Dave the King of Mexico is going to be out there.
Oh, you had me till then.
Stryker will be out there. Yeah. And DJ Omar Khan, better known as
DJ Omar Khan.
Omar North Tower.
Yes.
We'll also be out there as well, so join him if you'd like.
How is there a party in the Pepper with the Paddock if we didn't get Petrus Papadakis to read that one for us? It's good stuff.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Wow, that is a lot of Chick-fil-A. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Wow, I'd really like penis. Roll another one. Giggity, giggity, giggity. Just like the other one.
Remember Paula Abdul's?
This one seems to be about to quit.
That's what he said.
And I need another hit.
He's finding that back door open. Wow. He does not need much space to get through that door, my friend. He is so little, he can squeeze by if it's just open a crack.
Yeah. Roll, 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 another one.
Get in my vagina.
Just like the other one.
That's so hot.
This one seems to be about it.
San Angelo, Texas. Hello.
I don't have another cent.
If Jay Leno makes you laugh, chances are I don't care for you as a person.
All right. I don't want to.
I'm not sure what that means.
Let's pass it around.
I'm so mad, all I can do is dance.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Easy in, easy out, easy move.
Let's pass it on down. Pass it on down.
I quit.
No, get off, 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 get off it, get off it, get off it, get off it.
That was an awful story time.
Does wow suffice?
Well done. Wow might be an understatement.